Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, April 18th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Wasn't planning on doing a show today, but I was unable to do a show yesterday, so I just decided to get this going today. And there's quite a bit that I still had put off to the side that I wanted to go over, as well as some really important things that were shared with me today that I made sure to include. And now we're going to talk about the mask discussion in regard to a PPE expert, which is something we were doing in the very beginning of this whole thing, like going into the OSHA level of this discussion. But it's important to kind of come full circle and talk about the same points again, not the same exact points we made before, but the same conversation about how from a standardized level, from like the regulation level before COVID-19, what we've been saying is undeniable. It doesn't just change suddenly because they want you to think it's different because COVID-19. Well, we're going to get into that and show you how he just demolishes this narrative. But we're also going to talk about a lot of other things. As usual, a couple of notes in the beginning. We're going to talk about vaccines again, because that's obviously a really important discussion around this whole thing, but about the updated information. We're going to go into Veyers a little bit live on the show and walk through some of the things that we're finding that are a little bit odd, such as points saying where people had died from the COVID-19 vaccine in 2010, 2001. I'm sure maybe this is some kind of a clerical mistake, like we've seen a lot of times, you know, accidents where they get people jumping down rabbit holes that are not meant to go down. Or maybe this is something bigger than it seems to me now. But we're going to get into this and show you that information. We're going to talk about some more obvious things about the hospital discussion, about how people have been sending in FOIA requests and getting responses about, I mean, we showed you the Plymouth Hospital location, or the Plymouth group of hospitals. But we're seeing this across the board of people actually getting responses where they go, we have nobody in the hospital right now, or we have had under 5 cases of people that only died of COVID this entire time. Now, you'd think maybe some places that would be the case. But in this case, we're seeing it pretty basically everywhere, at least where we're getting responses from. And a lot more than just that we'll get into today. But as you can see, I mean, as always, there are things that I could just rattle off and take about a half hour in the beginning, but let's just jump right in. Now, these are a couple of things that, as always, I want to talk about in the beginning. And this is about Iraq, which you might not be surprised to see. As I said, well, the PSYOP continues. Guess what? Just in, multiple rockets hit outside the Al-Balad military airbase north of Baghdad, Iraq, housing U.S. forces, of course, or U.S.-led coalition troops. In any case, it's the same old redundancy. It's the same old thing. And even people below here are saying, why are there still troops there? You know, why, you know, basically calling out that this seems to be the recurrence, a common recurring thing. And this is, as I said, the PSYOP continues. Let me guess. Iran bad guy did it. Oh, and you have nothing but your word. Oh, and now you have to respond. Oh, and stay in Iraq indefinitely to fight for freedom. Anyone else tired of this stale and obvious ploy using rockets only ISIS, Mossad, or CIA would use? Remember, these are Katyusha rockets, Soviet era rockets with no guidance system. But let's pretend like every entity they're pointing to, which, by the way, has access to way better munitions than that. By the guess what? Because the PMU, who they're claiming are responsible because they want that to be Iran, even though that's not even a good connection, they're armed by the Iraqi government. The Iraqi government is armed by the U.S. government. So let's pretend like all they have is Soviet-era rockets that they know the U.S. will use to point back to them, because that perfectly makes sense. Or we have verifiable evidence of ISIS using them in Syria and Iraq and multiple locations as of very recently, reported by the mainstream media. But why don't we ask whether that's who's doing this, or whether it's CIA or Mossad and repeating the same old PSYOP ploy that they do between Gaza and occupied Palestine? In any case, I'm just frustrated this continues to happen. I have a couple great articles I'm probably putting up tomorrow from Robert touching on a lot of this important stuff, but just recognize some of this is distraction. Some of it's just the ongoing same manipulation. Here's another thing I want to point out. Pakistan on the brink of civil war as police open fire at anti-government, anti-France protesters. Okay, where's all the mayhem? Where's all the U.S. Where's the media freaking out about all these things and calling condemnations for the... Oh, I guess that only happens when Myanmar has an issue, or when specific countries they want you to look at have an issue, not their allies necessarily. In any case, just recognize how odd it is that sometimes we make a big deal when that happens, as, you know, governments fire on protesters, and then other times we call them... You know, it basically, they're either terrorists that they're fighting back when they like the country, or they're freedom fighters who are being attacked by the government when they don't. And even in most of those cases, that we've talked about in the past. It's actually U.S. people doing this so they can be shot out, so they can claim their government did that, just like we've proven happened in Syria and plenty of other places, including Venezuela. Here's another interesting one that you'll probably laugh out loud about. BitChute shares this, which is just, it's perfect. Perfect clown world. Congratulations to YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki for winning the Freedom of Expression Award that YouTube sponsored. Classic. Classic. This is ridiculous. And as the actual article says, ironic. YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki receives Free Expression Award from Pro First Amendment Group. The award ceremony was sponsored by YouTube. God, that's dumb. I mean, they think this stuff works, apparently. And I think there's either two kinds of people in my mind. People that see this and just want to be okay with it because they don't want to align with the conspiracy theorists. And then there's everybody else that can see that this is a ridiculous clown shoe fake narrative of the very people that we all see are the problem. Of course. But here's what I said. This is like Madeleine Albright getting a freedom or diplomacy award, which, by the way, she's gotten both of them. Remember Madeleine Albright famously saying when asked whether 500,000 children killed in Iraq was worth it, said, yeah, we think it's worth it. That's a direct quote. But getting diplomacy and freedom awards for someone that's been responsible for something like that's pretty stupid. Or when the U.S. government gives Saudi Arabia a human rights award, you know, because they want to change your perception. It's a joke. Sponsored by a joke. Criminals give criminals a slap on the back for being criminals. This is where we are. Pretty perfect. Also, just a quick note before we jump into the beginning topic. I told you I'd follow up on this. I'm actually quite shocked to see that this is still exactly the way it was. I actually don't think there's really going to be any follow-up. Or so for the podcast, we're looking at the Tuskegee timeline page from the CDC, which reads, this page is currently under review by CDC to ensure the content is accurate and verifiable, which, by the way, it said right in the beginning of this whole COVID-19 psyop. So does that, you know, why, I wonder, because this is a perfect example to point back to how your government tests on you using vaccines and lying to you about what's going on. Yep. But they want you at least to look at this and go, oh, wait a minute, it's under review. So nothing here could be taken seriously. Sort of the way they're doing with anything they want you looking at. But recognize that this has been under review for what, a year now? I'm sure they're just still getting to it. I'm sure it takes a year to review a static page that's been the same for a really long time and that we all know is accurate. But they just don't want you to think that. But as somebody pointed out on Twitter, the funny part of the timeline here, 1968, concern raised about the ethics of the study. But then the CDC reaffirms the need for the study and gains local medical society support, American Medical Association, and so on. So the CDC stood up and said, no, this is correct. Then news articles condemn the study. Study ends. Any questions? any questions about who has the control? I mean, this is silly, but the ultimate point is that the CDC maybe at this point was still actually honest. Maybe to some degree, there were people still thinking they were doing the right thing. I mean, it's the same thing as we point out the OPCW, where we see it all implode and all of them basically go, you're all lying. And they just fire everybody and bring in new people and act like it's still the same place. No, you just brought in the people who would no-to say exactly what you want them to. So it's kind of interesting to see a similar thing. But in any case, Tuskegee timeline. I just think it's interesting that this is going to probably remain that way or maybe quietly get deleted at one point. But bringing into the discussion of experimentation, Johnson & Johnson asked other vaccine makers to join a study of blood clot risks, but Pfizer and Moderna declined. Right, because it's all about safety, right? The unapproved vaccine that's currently emergency authorized and still being tested on children and pregnant women and all sorts of other things declined to test whether blood clots were an issue, despite clear reports of blood clots coming from both Pfizer and Moderna. Gee, I wonder what that's about. Maybe they're afraid what they'll find. I mean, this is just silly. Michael Yeadon, PhD, said the same thing, that this is basically seems to be associated with the spike protein. And his opinion is that these are all going to have a similar problem. And that's why they tried to couch it on AstraZeneca. Now Johnson & Johnson suspended, even though they're both sort of still being used and both will probably continue to be used. But they won't want to point to the problems with the other ones. This just shows you how criminal these people are. And remember, they have a criminal record. Pfizer, most highest among them all. Johnson & Johnson asked other vaccine makers, just in case you want to see it from the Daily Mail or some other mainstream place, as if that makes it more legitimate, to join study of blood clot risks. Because we know there's a real risk there, because we see the reports. So it's undefined. Let's put it this way. Vayers, as they keep saying, it's unverified. Right. So we don't know for sure, but it's reported. So that means that it could be there. They know that. And yet they don't want to do a study to find out whether or not it's there. God, they really care about your safety, don't they, guys? This is what somebody, some guy shared this with, I thought this was an excellent point. Let me read this out for you. This is a comment on the T-Lab website about the incidence of blood clots in people with COVID in comparison to the incidence of blood clots in people who took the vaccine. Two factors that matter. One, how long after COVID positive test did the blood clots happen? Right? So just thinking about the timeline versus how long after the vaccine. Right? If they only count the ones after the vaccine, but only the ones soon after the vaccine, excuse me, but count any that happen even weeks after testing positive for COVID or forever, then they're going to find more of the latter, right? This is the same way they play with everything else, right? So if all we're talking about is ones that happen right after the vaccine, but we're talking about people who could have COVID and they get a blood clot 6 months later, which I promise you they're adding, they're going to say, yes, look here. This is in regard to them saying that COVID-19 has a higher risk of blood clots than the vaccine. But also remember that they've argued from the beginning that we shouldn't be giving this to people who are currently sick with COVID-19. So the point is that you're either sick with it and not getting the vaccine, so you have a risk from what they're telling you do, or you're getting the vaccine, you have a risk. If you're in the middle group, which is healthy, you don't have a risk at all unless you take the vaccine. So it's sort of a sidestep. But number two, he says, how much certainty is there that the person had the vax versus how much certainty that they had the COVID, right? This is a good point because we're talking about the PCR false positives. We're talking about all sorts of things. He says there's complex certainty or complete certainty for the vax. We see it punched in their arm. Whereas the others, we have false positives and combination of numbers and dying with things as opposed to from. And there's all sorts of weird manipulations there. So it's clear that you can game this the way they did. So thank you for pointing that out, man, because that's an excellent point. Now here, I want to walk through this real quick before we get into the current horrors we're seeing around this discussion. But this is what the CDC is telling us. What to expect after getting a COVID-19 vaccine. Oh, I guess there is no volume. That's weird. After getting vaccinated, you may have some side effects, which are normal signs. Your body is building protection. It's actually not true. They've constantly tried to make that the case. But the argument would be that side effects are not expected. Effects are what we expect. Side effects are things that happen outside that realm. So to pretend that side effects are always there is just a constant misrepresentation. Now, you can make the argument that they use the term side effect to just name any effect from the vaccine what they don't like, even though anything that happens is simply an effect of the vaccine, not a main or side. They're all effects. In any case, the idea that you're supposed to get some kind of vomiting or flu fever or aches, and that's just not true. And we've all been around before COVID-19, so I don't understand why this is being accepted by anybody. Let's just scroll since there's no audio. And it goes forward to say, what to expect after getting a COVID-19 vaccine. And you see it says pain, chills, swelling, tiredness, fever, headache. This is what they're telling us, remember, right? Which is what I find pretty crazy, that these are the admitted, and this is if you told me this is something that you're going to get to fight off some kind of illness and it's going to make you really sick, I'd be like, well, no, thank you then. I don't understand. I mean, if you were arguing this was an end all be all, you're absolutely going to die if you get this, which by the way, is not even close to what we're dealing with. If it's actually there, like they say it is at all, then maybe you could say, okay, maybe I'll weigh it like this, but not in the case of where we are now. It says these side effects may affect daily activities and may make you feel like you have the flu, but it should go away in a few days, which by and large, that's not what I'm hearing from people who have the bad side effects. But I mean, it seems based on what we can at least see that, you know, the majority do not get these very severe side effects, but the idea is that there's a huge and way higher than any other vaccine we've seen of people getting these severe effects. But taken into a percentage of the full population, yeah, you could argue it's small, but that's the same point you could make about how the risk from COVID-19 is. But you see, they play it one way for one thing and one way for the other. This is higher than it should be for every single factor we've shown you. It says if you have pain or discomfort from fever, talk to your healthcare provider about taking ibuprofen or acetaminophen. The worst things you could probably do, in my opinion, but use or exercise your arm to get the painful arm out of the way. But here's what I think is interesting. Drink plenty of fluids and dress lightly if a fever causes you discomfort. So now you're at a point where, oh, dang it. Okay, good, I didn't lose it. Now you're at a point where you're having a fever to the point to where you're uncomfortable. That doesn't sound very normal to me, right? I've said this many times. I just want to go through this to get to some of the main points here. What to expect? It says in most cases, discomfort from faint, fever or pain is normal. Discomfort from fever or pain is normal. Maybe in a normal fever, but not a fever you're getting from a vaccine that's supposed to be something helping you. Call your healthcare provider if redness or tenderness increases after 24 hours. Your side effects are worrying you, or they do not seem to be going away. I mean, the fact that it's just so crazy. This is the world where this is acceptable. Now, if you experience any of these signs, call your healthcare provider right away. Difficulty breathing, swelling of face and throat, fast heartbeat, dizziness, weakness, all of which have been widely reported. All of those. I mean, you just look at any, even the ones they're calling not severe, you'll have one of those things, which means that basically everybody should be calling their doctor, which seems crazy. Now it says after you're vaccinated, here's the point. What to expect after you get this vaccine that's supposed to keep you safe from all these things? Well, remember to get your second shot, first of all. But then after you get your second shot, you're completely fully vaccinated. Remember, wear your mask. Remember, 6 feet apart. Remember, wash your hands. So remember that nothing literally changes after you get the thing that's supposed to bring your life back normal. Make sure you understand that. But also, remember the things they're telling you to do for the show today. Because we're going to make fun of all of this stuff and how ridiculous it is. Because it doesn't make sense in the context of what we actually know from before all of this. Now, getting into the reports, this is just the first one I'm going to start with. Again, like the one in the past, I want to know if anybody has any more insight here. Feel free to talk about it in the chat. All I know is BJ's Wholesale Club CEO dies unexpectedly at 49 from natural. It's weird the way they report this, actually. It says presumed natural causes. So why report it if you don't know, right? The guy died. We're investigating. Right. But see, they're just trying to force in all of these discussions that it's probably nothing at all. Like, that's not what journalists do. Right. That's what propagandists do. So in this case, I'm wondering whether he was vaccinated, who suddenly died unexpectedly from something weird that no one wants to talk about. Right. The fact is that this is a very real certainty that this is happening. They've already admitted it. We've seen blood clots and strokes and heart attacks. They're all talking about it. Yes, they can pretend it's 6 in 10 million, whatever. That's completely not true based on the actual information we have, but especially taking into account AstraZeneca, Moderna, and Pfizer, not just the ones they picked out and ignored the other 50 from Johnson & Johnson. But the fact that we can see clearly that there's obviously a risk here, that you could say that it is dangerous because as the definition, they are able to cause harm. That's what they just admitted. So they are dangerous by definition. So when we see something like this, it should be the most valid thing in the world to be like, gee, did he get that vaccine that's killing people like that? But no, you're not even allowed to ask that question because you're a crazy conspiracy theorist for putting together the obvious points. But anybody knows, please let me know, because I've heard some reports from people around his circle saying that he was definitely vaccinated. But these are unconfirmed reports. So I'd like to know more. Tamil actor suffers cardiac arrest. Experts dismiss rumors of link to vaccine. The guy dies right after the vaccination, as I understand it. And they go, well, it's a separate cardiac event. So, it's a heart attack. But yeah, it happened moments after the vaccine. But the vaccine was one thing. The heart attack was another. So they're totally separate cardiac events, apparently. Or it's a separate cardiac. I mean, this is what we keep hearing. Okay, look, it says it may not be due to COVID vaccination, but it is a separate cardiac event. Like, so we totally know it's not this thing, but it may, blah, blah, blah. It's just the waffling. Always on the side of what you think, on the side that this is not the problem. This is what this is why this stuff is so dangerous, because people have been aggressively socially engineered, even doctors, even scientists. Here's one of those ridiculous pages where I keep back. So this will start playing once we walk through it. It'll probably start playing after close it. And remember, COVID-19 updates. Fully vaccinated organ recipient has died of coronavirus. He had that fully vaccinated, meaning two shots, weeks after, died of COVID-19. Here's what they have to say. Immunocompromised individuals are still vulnerable, apparently, to this deadly virus, even after vaccination. Did I read that correctly? I thought immunocompromised people were not supposed to be vaccinated at all. Don't we all? Don't remember that? It's funny how the whole field is just changing. Everything is moving and left. And we argue, didn't it used to be, oh, you fake acting anti-vaxxer. It's like, this was certainty before COVID-19 illusion clown world that we're in. Now, suddenly, everything means whatever they want it to mean. And if you disagree, you're crazy. Now, I know it's not as simple as saying that this was a common understanding. If you're immunocompromised, the CDC argues you shouldn't be getting vaccines. So it's just kind of ridiculous. But this, before I move forward, the article, remember, the point is fully vaccinated and an organ recipient died of coronavirus because they were still vulnerable, apparently. Or was it something else? Was the person vaccinated? Just wanted to run through here and see if they've updated it. I looked before. These are the sites that constantly change their content without any update or notification. Doesn't seem like it. In any case, going forward, let me go back to this so I don't get that playing. Immunocompromised, right? Here is the CDC website. Interim clinical considerations for the use of COVID-19 vaccines currently authorized, not approved, in the United States. Now it says, the currently authorized COVID-19 vaccines are not live vaccines and therefore can be safely administered to immunocompromised people. Now, why is that an assumption? I mean, look, this is the same kind of weird assumption, which is not science, that they made around pregnant women. Yes, you can. By the way, I don't know why we would take anything they say at face value, but if what they say is correct, yes, it's not a live virus. So argument before is that the live virus aspect is what was risky for pregnant women or immunocompromised. Okay, fair. But to then say that because it's not live, that this thing is safe for immunocompromised is ridiculous to me. Because we don't know yet, because it hasn't been tested. And this is what's so crazy to me. But yep, and look, then now people are still getting sick. And they're going, but those immunocompromised, that doesn't even work for them. So why are we giving it to them? Right? I mean, recognize what this is saying. They're telling you right here that they're still vulnerable. Which, by the way, so is everybody. Because it doesn't stop transmission, and you can still catch it. Just so we're clear on that ridiculous, weird point. But they're giving it to people that shouldn't get it, knowing that it doesn't work for them. So is it about helping them or just getting this in their arm? Please help me out here. Immunocompromised people can receive the COVID-19 vaccination. Cool. Glad that's all settled. Here's some more horrible things that we keep seeing. COVID-19, family of Italian woman who died after Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine launched legal action. Now, AstraZeneca vaccine is already about to start being used again. We'll get to that in a minute. Same with the J&J. Despite all of this stuff, despite what they pretended they were doing to make sure we're safe, and then we're just going to roll it back out. Woman dead after major brain aneurysm. Family believes the J&J vaccine to blame. There's a lot of this going around. Now, yes, look, is it possible that some of these people are wrong? Of course it is. Is it a certainty that some of them are? Yes. But look at it like this, is we have just this endless list of people who are getting it with healthy people and dying within moments to weeks afterward. Now, anywhere within that frame, as even Dr. Fauci said, within 45 days, that's a valid question to ask with what we know, that it does cause potential death. We know that. You can say it's a very, 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 very slim chance. It's still possible. I disagree with that. But even on their narrative, it's possible. So to be dismissing that these things are even possible still, as they just admitted it's possible to kill people, it shows you the illusion right in front of you. It shows you the social engineering, that people are so committed to believing this is completely the best thing since sliced bread that they will refuse to acknowledge even what they were just admitted, what they were just told by the very people they're telling us to listen to. It's so incredibly ridiculous. Here is a horrible picture of somebody who just got the Moderna vaccine. Oh, there's another tweet that went along with this, and I guess I missed it somewhere. In any case, that's right. So the person I was sharing this who sent this to me, dang it, I forget who that was. That would give me even a shout out. But they pointed out that this is being reported. And again, this good example, this is somebody telling us that her sister had this. So her sister and her believe this, but could they be wrong? Sure. Could it be something else? Sure. But these are important to see in the bigger context of how many reports we're getting. She took the Moderna vaccine and days later has this really horrific looking rash. Now, if you look up what cowpox looks like, it's like exactly that. Very strange. That's just the comparison that the person made who shared this. A lot of this going around. Now, this will probably make you even more upset. Pfizer vaccine trial began at Stanford for 2 to 5 year olds. Began. So this is not approved. Very rushed. Warp speed, in fact. And it's currently being tested on children and pregnant women, even though it is being shown to cause all sorts of horrible things. Right? These are reports. Remember, 1% that's reported to VAERS. That's it. 1%, according to HHS and Harvard. Okay, so that means that if we're seeing, I mean, I can't remember the number now, actually, if it was anyway, times it by 100. If it was 100 times it by 100, if it was 1,000 times it by 100, right? This is what we're talking about. I was trying to remember the number of what we just looked at. But in any case, there's a lot more going on than they're even pretending to acknowledge. Six cases out of however many million. Remember, there was, I believe, 56 that were actually on record that were reported. And they were just as valid. You can look at them yourself. Just as valid as the other ones we were seeing. And they just said, oh, well, only six. The fact that they're testing on children is unbelievably disgusting to me because the children are not at risk. The CDC says on their own website, 0.00001 or whatever it is, basically amounts to zero because they're not at risk. Okay, asymptomatic transmission has been shown to be basically non-existent. 300 out of 10 million people were found. That's not statistically significant. Even Dr. Fauci said in the beginning that respiratory viruses don't spread by asymptomatic because the symptoms are what spread a respiratory virus. They're playing games with all of this. So the point is, why give this child, why even test on the children if they are not at risk? Because it's not about your risk. Like, why test, first of all? Why give it to them at all? Right? The experiment in this regard and the parents that are allowing it to happen are horrific to me. But then why give it to them? Do they need it? No. Are they at risk of spreading it? No. Can it even stop the transmission if you give it to them anyway? No. So what is the point? It's crazy that we can even keep making this argument and it still just keeps going on and the people keep going along with it. Here's what I said. Anyone allowing their child to be experimented on should be arrested. In any other context, these mindless followers would agree. These same people before COVID-19 would have lost their minds if people would have allowed their children to be experimented on for even a vaccine before this. Because why would you do that? Governments have used COVID to warp their brains. Your child has a 0% chance of dying from COVID, according to the CDC. No risk. You are putting them at risk. That's a fact. Just like I said before, most are at higher risk right now, according to the numbers, from adverse events than they are from COVID-19. You can censor me all you want, YouTube, because we don't care about you. Them's the facts, right? This is what's happening. And I just think it's incredible that we have to keep banging our head against that wall. I wish no ill will against the parents or the daughter, but I do not think it's acceptable that this can be allowed, that parents can be allowed to put their child at risk for any reason. It's an experiment, which means you don't know the outcome. That's virtue signaling at its worst. Horrible. Well, here's what makes it even more horrible. A two-year-old in Pfizer dies after the vaccine. It's in the Pfizer kid study. So this is what happens when you experiment with children, right? We remember that there was a good amount of people died in the vaccine studies. So why then would we pretend that it wouldn't happen here? So that person put their child into this knowing that they could possibly die? Of course not, because they were told that it's not possible. They were told this is the savior of everyone everywhere, and it's only good, and it's all good. And, you know, this is the mindless propaganda we're getting beaten with. So these parents don't think they're doing a bad thing. And then a child dies. It's on Vayers. You can look it up for yourself. And we're going to jump into some Vayers stuff right now. It says, look for Pfizer researchers to exclude her from the study, which they've already done in the past studies, probably claiming her death had nothing to do with the shot. She was going to die that day, 5 days after the vaccination. Anyway, that's how they roll. Now, actually, I think the 5 days he quotes there is not necessarily accurate. But in any case, we're talking about a two-year-old child that dies during a Pfizer study. Are they just that their time is old enough to die anyway? Are they had comorbidities? I mean, what are we going to argue for a two-year-old? I'm sure they'll find something. But take your time. Dive through this. Look at the actual Vayers information for yourself. Now, this is being reported all over the place, and you can look it up on Vayers for yourself. Now, this is what we have to recognize, is that they're pushing this on people and they're tricking the parents like this, the people that believe they're doing the right thing. But remember how constantly I'm trying to get you guys to see that the majority is making itself seen. It really is. America hits the vaccine wall. Thousands of appointments go unfilled as states across the nation warn that, quote, hesitancy to get the shots threatens to derail the rollout. Or, you know, that we're all recognizing how incredibly off the rails this is. Yeah, call it hesitancy if you want. That doesn't mean it's based on nothing. It's based on facts and alarm and history of what this government has done in these institutions and these companies have repeatedly done to unwitting people, lied to, you know, I mean, everything. We've gone over this in 1,000 shows in the past. But if you recognize that less than a third of people have been fully vaccinated and and right now they're already hitting a wall, how do you not see that that represents the real majority? Now, it doesn't mean that they all believe with everything we believe or talk about, but it shows you that a huge portion of this country recognizes we're being deceived right now. At the very least, recognizes that this isn't as safe as they're telling us it is, which is exactly the same thing. So we need to lean into this and recognize that we have a majority of people who see this, and we need to wake that sleeping majority up, right? That majority of that majority who thinks they're the minority, if you follow, right? There's a huge portion of them that don't believe they're actually with everybody else. They believe they're the fringe weirdo and they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to be cast aside as the anti-vaxxer. So what we need to do is reach those people and say, you're not alone, man. Look at this. Look how many people are on your side and are not getting vaccinated. We all see the same point. It's powerful. And here's why. First of all, I should have had this one before the other one. This is actually pretty crazy. Here's a percent of people receiving at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine by age group in the United States. You want to see something pretty disconcerting? Now, they're telling us right now they're testing on children, right? Which means that they haven't done that, okay? So check this out. Here is the first moment when 18 and under began being administered vaccines. And when is this? February 2021? Yep. Just like I kept telling you guys, this was being given to people all over the place without any real organization. Even when they tell you had to wait in line for your age group, I know people that walked in, said they weren't in that age group and got vaccinated anyway. They were trying to create this air of people waiting in line that wasn't really there. If an under 18-year-old was being given this vaccine, that was a crime. In my opinion, it's a crime for everybody at this point, but that is a crime. And you can go forward and watch the number go up. Now, I'm assuming you guys can see this pop up on my screen. Yeah, okay, good. I can see it. So the point is, if you go forward, watch that number go up. 0.1, 0.2, 0.3. We're at April, right? So if they're still right now testing on children, how are they being administered the vaccine? And how was it administered all the way back in February? Because it's been happening. Whether that's a test on kids before you knew about it or an administration before you knew about it. None of this is approved and hasn't been tested on kids, and yet it's been given to kids. Just make sure we understand how much they care about our safety. Now, here is something I find to be really weird. Now, I want to caution that we do not jump to conclusions here. Oh, here, let me do this. I want to caution that we do not jump to conclusions. This could mean everything you might think it means, or it could just be an intentional manipulation, or it could just be some kind of weird, you know, like before when we saw those past examples. Like, for instance, and this would make no sense, by the way, and I actually can't find an example of the SARS. Well, actually, I take that back, because SARS and MERS actually didn't have vaccines, which is something I'll get to in a minute, which is sort of a rabbit hole that I went down. But there could be some way that they combined past things to make it show on this as COVID-19. Now watch. Here, okay, so you see this, first of all. This is, I'll just do this actually. To remind you guys, this is something you need to familiarize yourself with, because this is very strange. This is the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which most of you are familiar with, but I find it to be intentionally weird and disjointed the way it works. So it's like hard to find specific things, but in any case, it's good to get into this and request things, right? So all you're willing to do is pick something in here, right? Year died, age, right? Let's just make it simple and hit send. This will pop up with year died and age. And then it seems to always include events reported, which is strange, but then it just shows you a number. Well, anyway, the point is, this is something you should get familiar with. Now, so you see how that's working. Let's jump to this. Now, this one was specifically vaccine type, as you can see, the year that was the year died and the age. Now, look at what popped up that I found really strange. COVID-19 vaccine. Now, it's very clear. It says COVID vaccine, and then in parentheses, COVID-19. Okay, so if this was some kind of a combination of previous things, this is, in my opinion, intentionally meant to make people go, what? or make people point this out and be called conspiracy theorists, or maybe this is some kind of an obvious glitch that shows you that they've been using this from before. You read into it however you want, but I ask people to be objective and not just jump into assuming what you think you want it to be. But it says 2001 right there. 2001. That's somebody who died. They're saying somebody died over 65 in 2001 from the COVID-19 vaccine, right? 2001. There's one person. Here's one in 2010, over 65, 1 year old, or excuse me, one death, COVID-19, right? I mean, this is pretty strange. I honestly don't have an answer for what this is. Maybe this is a big find and we're exposing some. I mean, I somehow don't think that's the case because I find it to be almost ridiculous that it would be that clumsy, but who knows? I'm increasingly underwhelmed by their intelligence and their ability to manipulate people. But 2010, here's 2014, another one, 65 years older, COVID-19. Strange, right? But then we jump over to 2020. And it gets into the numbers. Now, that's actually what I was trying to look up. But anybody want to explain to me how that's even possible? How people could be killed by COVID-19 vaccine in 2001, 2010, and 2014? Is this some kind of experiment they were doing with this long before? And does that show us that this vaccine was being tested and worked on long before? Certainly possible. We shouldn't discount that. I'm going to keep looking into this, but this is just something I kind of fell into, and I think it's very telling. But if you go down, you can see COVID-19 vaccine, first 2020, right? Just think, recognize what this first shows you, okay? 28 people apparently died. Well, technically 39, if they're saying they just don't know how old they are. So 50 people, including these other ones up here. Okay, so 50 people died in 2020 from getting the vaccine. You mean the vaccine that was being tested? Yes. And that's the point. And we've already talked about this. There were a lot of people that died that they just didn't really tell you about in the so-called trials. Okay. And this was reported by a few different people, but then you go forward to 2021, 2,322. Now we've already shown you this. I'll show you another grouping. And I'm actually going to show you the one I showed you before that shows you how much that's increased over the years. But I just think it's incredible how many there are. And then you go ahead and add another 191 just because they don't know what date they died. Goes on and on and on. Now it shows no death here, and that's in regard. There's a lot, which means these are all pretty severe side effects, right? I mean, does anybody think this is not as, I mean, compared to any other vaccine we're talking about here? I mean, this is simply, and remember, this is 1%. This is only 1%. Right? So you take the number. I mean, what's the quick math? What's 2,000 times 1%? What is that, like 200,000? 20,000? I'm terrible at that off the fly. But the point is, that's a huge amount compared to what? I mean, that gets close to like what we're telling us are people that died from COVID-19. Right? I mean, that, and this is according to HHS and Harvard. This is 1% of the general reporting. Now, going forward to another one. This one is in regard to year died, vaccine type. Oh, I believe this was the same thing. I was just trying to play with this. Yeah. So you could argue maybe this other one was some kind of a weird glitch or something, right? But if you reorganize the data and look at it a different way, here it is. 2001, 2001, COVID-19, one person died, right? And you keep jumping down, you'll find that the year's here, 2010, 2014. Very strange. I really don't know why. I'd love to find out why that is. I'm sure they have some kind of an answer. I'm sure it's not the truth. But going forward, this one as well. Oh, and this was in general, let's see, this was vaccine type, serious yes or no events reported. So it looks like they're telling us we have 8,000 serious, and this is, I guess, you know what I also find it very strange? And this is probably, this to my point about why they would, you know, combine these things, and that's why it might say that from before. Why is it that it says COVID-19 and not Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and so on, like all the rest of the things listed in here? You realize every other one in here is listed specifically to the vaccine type, not the, you know, the brand, not the general category. You want my opinion? It's because they want to blend it all together and make it look like it's hard. One, make it harder to really parse out, and then not be able to know which one is worse, better. You know, it's all a big clump. Interesting, isn't it? Let's see. Was there something else in here I was going to show you? Oh, I think it was just the only other one that looks in the same realm, in my opinion, of how many we're seeing in regard to side effects is, guess what? The MMR vaccine. Shocker. And that just goes to show you that if it was that big, why, and it's getting the same amount of incredible reports, right? People, 5,000 people calling in and are reporting to Bayer's and saying, this thing killed my daughter got autism, right? And they just deny it. No, not true, right? We're seeing that right now, too. Isn't it weird that we see the same weird occurrence with that one that we're seeing now, both been dismissed, even though both now be slowly being shown to be correct? Isn't that funny? Now, here's the point in regard to the numbers and the years, right? This is what I showed you before. Take a very, this is a basic one. Year died and the deaths. Just basically just year died. And as I said, they always include these ones over here. But if you go down the years, you'll see that it very quickly escalates right around between 1986 and 1990. Now, remember, what happened in 1986? What was the Act of 1986, which gave these vaccine companies immunity? Shocker. And then we saw what? Reportings of deaths go up. It's almost like they stopped caring about safety as much. You know, the company that paid $4 billion in safety crimes like Pfizer? Gee, it's almost like they don't care. But here's the point. As it goes forward, it keeps going up. But, you know, it generally kind of goes up. And then right around here, it kind of waffles and goes down again and comes back up. But it never really gets over 200. So it's been pretty consistent until 2021. Now, how do you ignore something like that? Right? Look at that number. And remember that we've already seen past numbers that were, I mean, this is an obvious anomaly that nobody wants to acknowledge. If you go from 109 reported, which is 1%, so it's way more than that, to 2,259, and we're only in April, remember, that's going to exponentially go up. And remember, then you got these other 1,000 with no unknown date, which probably means right now in 2021. That's incredible. And that's obvious, very obvious. And people are speaking out. Famous Harvard-trained physician, or psychiatrist, calls for moratorium on COVID vaccines. I found this to be interesting. A world-renowned Harvard-trained psychiatrist and author of dozens of scientific papers is calling for a moratorium on COVID-19 vaccines due to the explosion of adverse reactions, which we can all see. Anyone honest can see and admit to thousands of deaths that have followed in the wake of those who have received the COVID-19 experimental injection. Quote, the vaccine is much more dangerous than the disease COVID-19, according to Dr. Peter Bragan, former consultant at, guess what, the National Institutes of Mental Health, told LifeSite News John Henry Western this week. It says, quote, it's very clear now we absolutely need a moratorium on it. Don't take it. We need a moratorium. Anyone honest could understand this. I mean, if they're suspending one for 6 cases when we know it's actually much more than that, why wouldn't we be suspending all of them? Because clearly that was meant to make you feel like they cared, make you feel like they're being safe. Now they're going to roll Johnson & Johnson right back out. And I think the ultimate point is to drive people to use the mRNA vaccine. That's my opinion. Bragan's comments come as American and European authorities reveal that since December, more than 10,000 people have died after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine and tens of thousands have experienced adverse events. Now, this is combining multiple locations and as well as, you know, remember, reported. So certainly some of them could be incorrect. But remember, it also could be more than that because they're not reporting all of them. Very interesting. As Dr. Claire Craig points out, there seems to be some acceptance of harm now, which is what I've been pointing out, right? The very things that we've been censored for are now quietly being admitted. But it's an acceptance of harm, the very thing they aggressively denied until now they're quietly having to admit it, which is exactly how this always goes. And the debate is whether the harm is justified, right? So now the thing they said was no, you know, fake news, anti-science, anti-vaxxer, not true, is now like, well, yeah, it's true, but it's totally okay though. And it's reasonable and it's meant to be there. Okay, so were we fake news, anti-science, conspiracy theorists then? And you're lying now? Or, you know, how's that work? Because you don't get to just move the goalpost and say, well, now the harm is there and it's allowed and it's okay, and still pretend like we were fake news, anti-science, conspiracy theorists for arguing that it was causing harm that you just justified. This is how ridiculous this all gets. Where is that debate regarding lockdowns? Great point. There has been far more harm from lockdowns, and nobody wants to argue, talk about this, except people who are honestly calling this stuff out. And it's seemingly falling apart. Here's an interesting dive back into the past from, this is May 18th, 2020. Take a listen to what this has to say. Moderna, early coronavirus vaccine results are encouraging. Okay, first of all, always just remember that it's definitely an experimental vaccine, despite the weird like mid-PSYOP shift away from calling it experimental, which is just very odd to me, even though, as I point out all the time, National Institutes of Health on January 12th, 2021, very clearly calls it an experimental coronavirus vaccine. And yes, this is the Moderna currently used one that's being given to your children and pregnant women and whoever else that's currently experimental, as the NIH says themselves. But let's pretend like that's not true because some guy on Twitter said you were crazy for saying it. But definitely experimental vaccine. Study, this is, remember, May 18th, 2020. Study volunteers given either a low or medium dose of the vaccine by Massachusetts, by Cambridge, Massachusetts-based Moderna, had, get this, antibodies similar to those seen in people who recovered from COVID-19. Okay, wait a minute. Now, as much as that makes sense to us, because we know and are smart enough to recognize that it's been reported, I'm just bringing this one up too since I'm talking about it, lasting immunity found. This is January as well, 2021, from the NIH, from normal COVID-19. And it's saying the immune system retains a memory of it. Now, it's clearly telling you that it has a lasting immunity from COVID-19. Now, we're also finding out that people might not even have any immunity after the vaccine, based on all sorts of different factors. But here's what's interesting. That's January 2021. In May 2020, the whole discussion was that, well, we don't know. We don't know if COVID-19 virus causes natural immunity. We don't know. And that led right into the vaccine. Shocker, right? So how is it that they can then admit that they're going to give you immunity similar to the ones seen from people already recovering COVID-19? This is going to be easy to do once this all flushes out. You can go, and I'm going to have a couple more points today. You can go back to look at the mainstream reporting, compare it to what they're currently saying, and laugh out loud. It's this is the kind of thing. If they're now pretending like we didn't know until January 2021, we all know that's not true. First of all, we knew that this is how these things work in general. To pretend like it suddenly does, like it came around and they said, well, we don't know for sure whether it gives you immunity. Why would we think that? Was there any reason to think that? If every other one before it has given you immunity, this one came along, the next, did flu come around last year? And they go, well, we don't know this time. No, the assumption is it gives you immunity until you think otherwise. But they did this intentionally because the game was always about the vaccine. In the next phase of the study, led by the NIH, researchers will try to determine which dose is best for a definitive experiment that they aim to start in July, which is what you're currently in. Ladies and gentlemen, you are being experimented on. The vaccine seems safe, the company said. that is a resounding, seems safe, but much more extensive testing is needed to see if it remains so. And that's the testing they skipped, just so we're all clear on that. A high-dose version is being dropped after spurring some short-term side effects. Okay, so it needs much more testing to make sure it can remain sort of safe like we think it seems to be, and we just jump past that and emergency authorized it and jammed it in everyone's arms right away because safety, right? But then they say that a high dose was dropped because they saw some short-term side effects. Right now, people are seeing crazy side effects, long side effects, extreme side effects, all kinds of things, and that's not enough. But they were dropping the dose mid-trial because they saw short-term side effects. Why would they do it not do it now in real world? Because they don't care. It's just so crazy how obvious this is. At the present time, Dr. Simone Gold points out, all COVID medical products offered under the auspices of a vaccine are granted a approval as an emergency use authorization. Even that I take issue with, as you know, because the truth is there's not an approval of emergency authorization. You're authorized for emergency use. That's how it's actually stated in anywhere you look these things up. Not trying to hate on Dr. Simone. I'm just saying that's important to understand. Now, emergency use authorization is all these things are, which is her point. They are not approved by the FDA. Mandating investigational and experimental therapies is therefore unlawful. This is what you need to remember. According to 21 USC 360BBB-3, quote, authorization for medical products for use in emergencies. If your organization is mandating this, it is violating federal law and this action will be held accountable. You're damn right it will. Maybe not in this moment, but it will be. So thank you, Simone, Dr. Simone Gold, for fighting for this. Doctor, lawyer, warrior. Exactly. But to her point, I want to show you an interesting thing that somebody shared. They sent me these just yesterday, actually. According to Wikipedia, Moderna very clearly state the Wikipedia page for Moderna, very clearly states, as of May 2020, none of its products have reached the final phase of a clinical trial, received approval by the FDA, or been sold in the market, meaning they have never to date, even still, brought a product to market. This is emergency authorized. It's not approved. Right. So, I mean, I guess that's even a fair thing since they've done that with previous ones. They've emergency authorized and just never approved them and continued to use them as if they were. So maybe that's, I guess, a quasi now on the market, but it's not supposed to be. In any case, the point was that Moderna wildly overvaluated and was seemingly this lead runner, despite continually failing to produce anything, shows you that this was much more than just a company keeping continue. Nobody would invest in this if it failed over and over and over and over. This is clearly a plan. And what shows that even more is that this is the current iteration. They seem to remove that, right? And it's not anywhere in there. It's not that they say it's emergency authorized now. They have had zero products before this approved. That's what that says. They've removed that. I wonder why. Maybe because they're trying to airbrush the reputation of this company. Well, here's what it said before they removed it. To date, none of these products have reached final phase of clinical trials, received approval by FDA, or been sold on the market. This is the Wayback Machine as of May 2020. Isn't that funny? I wonder why they would alter that, seeing as how it hasn't changed. Because they're sanitizing things they don't want you to see, guys. Here's what the Moderna CEO, Stefan Bancel, has to say about this, you know, totally not experimental, totally not... You know, the thing they keep laughing about is the way that they themselves are openly called. This is a platform, right? It's a plug and play platform. And no, I'm not literally. Look, there's discussions to be had about how these things are being used in that fashion that I'm totally open to talk about and hear. But in regard to just the idea of what this thing is at its face and how it's discussed, we're talking about something that was designed to be able to plug in genetic code, not on a computer screen, and out and design something on a computer that would be then pumped out in real world that would be used on based on new variants and new viruses, new going forward, and even on their own argument won't need safety testing. This is alarming. I don't care what you want to call that. This is what it was always meant to be. That's why Moderna is the one that will succeed. Like I said, from the very beginning, that's why, I mean, this is why China sent them material on January 11th. And 2 days later, January 13th, 2020, they were already making vaccines and testing them. That's ridiculous. That doesn't make sense, guys. Here's the, I believe that was the one. Perfect. Here it is right here. January 11, 2020, Chinese authorities shared the genetic sequence of the novel coronavirus, which, by the way, they CDC from China admitted they didn't isolate, just so we're clear on that whole point. Then January 13th, the NIH and Moderna infectious disease research team finalized the sequence for this one that we just pointed out that they said was experimental. Moderna mobilized toward clinical manufacture. Then it says disclosed their intent to run phase one trials using the one they just did 2 days later. That doesn't happen unless this was designed and planned and set in place before all this happened. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, their research based on other things they've done before. No, this was not what that was before. This was something that was done, designed, and put in place before COVID-19 specifically. Listen to what he has to say.
It's a platform company. And Moderna is a platform company.
He says Moderna is a platform company.
And in traditional pharmaceuticals, you don't have platforms. Every drug is a different drug with own risk profile.
He says you don't. So in a normal drug company, you make different drugs, different things. Each one has its own profile, just in case you can't understand what he's saying. But not with Moderna, though.
mRNA is like software.
It's like, he said mRNA is like software.
Four letters that codes every mRNA under the sun to make protein in your body. And so we have a very large pipeline of 9 vaccines, and most of those vaccines, Maria, they are first-in-class vaccine. What does he mean?
So he just admitted they're working on 9 right now. Do you realize this one hasn't even been approved? This one they're currently pumping into people's arms and testing on children has not even actually gotten FDA approval. And they're already producing, making, and probably testing vaccines based on the same model. How do we know? Look, even if this was approved, we don't know long term. We don't know what this genetic modification does to your body or can do or possibly could do 10 years down the line. But yeah, let's just start making this our new future because we want it to be. That's not how this is supposed to work.
You mean they are a vaccine against a virus that hurts human, for which there's no vaccine on the market? As you know, there are flu vaccines, but as it's well reported, you know, in a good year, you get 60% efficacy, which is not great. And in the bad year, you get 20 or 30% efficacy.
Do you remember if in before COVID-19, if you had ever argued that the flu shot was 20% efficacious and not, so which means it's not even worth taking, you would have been called an anti-vaxxer, right? It's just funny how these things shift, isn't it?
We believe we can bring, thanks to mRNA, a 90%+ efficacy flu vaccine. And our vision, Mario.
So he believes he can make the flu shot 90% effective because he uses mRNA technology. Does it seem like these are 90% effective? These won't stop transmission. So why would we think this is any different?
Yeah, is to combine the COVID boost with a flu vaccine into one single dose so that every year you can go to your CVS store or your GP, get one dose that will have the right variant of COVID for that winter, the right flu strain for that winter, so that you are safe and can have a nice fall and winter.
So did you hear what he just said? Just so it was clear, this is not a conspiracy theory. This has always been the plan. They've been floating this for months. They're talking about third shots, booster shots. He just said they're working on combining the flu shot, booster shot, COVID shot. Like, he's admitting that the booster COVID shot is going to be a thing. That's your future. So COVID's not going away. And I'm going to show you something about that in a moment as well, where they're telling you this is your future. Like, this is the COVID, the passport. It's all being, these are foregone conclusions in the mainstream. Even though they'll simultaneously act like we're crazy for saying that it's happening. Isn't that funny? He's telling you that the booster shot will be combined with the flu shot. This is what we've always been telling you guys. This is always going to be the few. This is going to be a routine situation where the new thing comes around. They tell you suddenly they're looking at something new coming. We all thought we'll start wearing our masks again. They're going to pump in the thing 2 days later, have a new variant, a new booster shot. I mean, this is going to be a constant. So if you ever think, even if they gave you back the let you stop wearing a mask and let you go back outside, it's going to be 2 days later until the new thing comes around. So this has been set in stone. We, as the people of this country, need to recognize, we need to put our foot down and say, no matter at any time, this is not okay. You weren't allowed to take these things from us in the beginning, so you can't give them back.
That's another piece we talked about.
That's a big deal. And
it's a huge deal. I think it's going to totally disrupt the current flu market.
It's going to disrupt the current flu market, which is interesting because I bet you at least somewhere there's a powerful person that doesn't like that. So it's interesting to see what that might do.
We are partnering with Dr. Fauci team at the NIH and many scientists around the country.
Perfect.
On an HIV vaccine that sounds very promising, as you know.
Do you hear that? He's partnering with Dr. Fauci on none other than an HIV vaccine. Something they've never been able to make a vaccine for, probably because it's a bioweapon or whatever else we've talked about in the past, clearly manipulated, clearly some kind of pro. This is crazy. This is combining all the things we're warning about. It's really alarming.
No, 40 years after the discovery of HIV and AIDS, we still don't have a vaccine to protect people.
Well, there's your future, guys. Guess what? Next year, you're going to have an HIV COVID flu shot. That's going to be every two days, right? Just constantly come back in, get your vaccine stamped. Well, COVID-19 data drives. Why don't we have vaccine for SARS or MERS? I thought this was kind of interesting. This is from May. This is 28. Now, there's a couple points in this, May 28, 2020. There's a couple points in this that I found to be, at the very least, worth pointing out. In comparison, it says SARS-CoV-2, so COVID-19, the discussion, right? We're talking virus versus disease, mutates even more slowly, it says, than seasonal flu, making it a more stable target for vaccines, right? It's funny how the narrative changes over the time, right? So when they want you to think it's going to be good for vaccines, then it doesn't mutate. But now today, because they want you to be fearful and keep you scared of this, well, now it mutates every 10 days, but still vaccine's good though, right? But no, because that's the point. It's not stable for vaccines. That's the whole point. That's the whole concept of why they argue that what he just said, 20 to 60% for the flu. It's constantly way worse than that. And that's what the real data shows. And that's because it's just constantly pumped out based on some, you know what? We've seen more than 1 year where they just use the one from the year before. which means it's not even applicable, but it's just about giving you the thing, guys. That's what this is. Next, SARS caused an explosive outbreak in 2003. Fortunately, that outbreak was contained, in part because SARS-CoV-2 caused severe illness that was less likely to be missed during tracing. And there was no pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic transmission. Okay, you see what they're saying right there? The reason SARS-CoV, so SARS, the first one, was able to be contained was because it caused severe illness. Okay, so you mean unlike COVID-19. That's what they're saying right there. Was less likely to be missed during tracing, like we are with COVID-19. That's what she's saying. Isn't that funny? We're the thing that's not very dangerous, but yeah, this has always been the underlying tone. Now it says, after being contained in 2003, there have been no SARS outbreaks since. Well, that's interesting. Almost like it wasn't really there. Well, while several SARS vaccine candidates were developed, funding dried up to test them further. In addition, there has been no clear pathway for testing the efficacy of SARS vaccines and getting it approved for use. Why? How can we determine whether a vaccine prevents SARS if there's no SARS to prevent? Thus, these candidates have been stalled at early stages of development. Well, weird. I guess we solved that problem now, right? Because now there's lots of COVID to test, and now they can test out their vaccine. That's the point. You're being tested on, right? They couldn't test it before because it wasn't there. Well, now they've made sure, and or you know, whatever we want to pretend this is we're dealing with, whether you think it's COVID or an illusion or something that's not as severe, they're lying about it. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. In any case, that solved their problem, didn't it? Now we're testing these types of vaccines in real time. Now it says for the MERS vaccine candidates, given the relatively low incidence of incidence even in high-risk groups, trials could need 100,000 plus participants, which isn't feasible. As a result, there still isn't a clear path forward for testing a vaccine for MERS. Well, again, we solved that problem, right? So now we can do it and we have lots of people to test on. That's a solution for this problem. In particular, it says if we had licensed SARS or MRE or MERS vaccines, they could be modified for COVID-19. Gross, right? This is not something, this has been an agenda, guys. Indeed, it says many of these candidates were brought back off the shelf for exactly this purpose. But the fact that approved vaccines for these diseases do not exist reflects their other challenges in their development as much as anything else. Now, remember, just because they're saying that these things have been pulled off the shelf, it does not mean that this entire platform of being able to do this was absolutely up and running. So within 2 days, they could be producing vaccines. It's not what that says. For COVID-19, with widespread transmission and active funding, we should expect large trials to soon begin testing the many vaccine candidates being pursued in parallel. So if one or more of them works, or, you know, all of them simultaneously, which was ridiculous, we should be able to figure this out quickly, right? So again, the testing is what we're currently in. And the fact that, like as she said, well, maybe one of them will work, which is what anybody logical would have said before this, not that all of these ones that were all never succeeded before would all simultaneously work. Or so we're told, because that's just ridiculous. But Fauci expects the use of J&J to resume, because why wouldn't it? It only caused blood clots and strokes and heart attacks, and that's what they're admitting. But why wouldn't we let it just roll right back out? Because COVID's so dangerous? Well, it's not, though. It's not. That's their data, right? That's the point. Their information, even what they admit to, they argue is 0.1. That's the flu or less. And that's not even true because we add the real data. It's definitely lower than that. You add in the fact that you're combining these numbers. You add in the fact that there's false positives and what we're going to get into next. And it's very clear that this is not, I mean, even remotely dangerous is what they've been saying. But let's keep giving you the vaccine that adds you that risk, right? Most are not at are higher risk in adverse events than COVID-19. But let's make sure we take the vaccine that gives them the risk of adverse events. And then we'll blame it on COVID anyway, right? Because that seems to be what's happening. Ontario to expand the use of AstraZeneca to people 40 and older, right? So now we're just going to keep using them, even though we clearly see an issue. There are places around the world that have completely stopped, not suspended, just stopped, canceled AstraZeneca. I think Denmark was one of them. And yet we're still just expanding it, allowing it to be tested on more people. None of these are actually approved. It's crazy that I have to be the one continuing to say this stuff, as well as a lot of other people, mind you, in the independent media. But it's crazy that we have to be the ones to say this stuff. Here is an interesting share from The Man Who Laughs, April 22nd, 2002, Time Cover Magazine. And it seems to show you the shifting, right, where everyone seems to be on board right now. But this is Time Magazine. How medical testing has turned millions of us into human guinea pigs. Isn't that funny? How this would be fake news today. That's not even possible. Our medical institutions would never do such a thing. They really think we're children. Well, don't worry, though, because the White House has now dedicated almost $2 billion more of your money to tracking the mutants, the mutations of COVID they tell us are there across the United States. Gee, I wonder if they'll find what they're looking for. Or maybe they'll find something and tell us it's there and then maybe, oh, well, it didn't pan out. In any case, it'll keep you on lockdown. It'll keep you in a mask. It'll keep you doing what they say if you choose to follow what they say. $2 billion almost coming from your pocket. That's where that comes from. To seek out and find the things that were probably not even really dangerous to begin with. But when they find it, whether or not it's dangerous, they'll say it could be, so we have to lock down. Seeking out and finding the excuse to do what they want to keep doing. Gee, shocking, right? And using your money to do it. Using your money to restrict your rights. Well, vaccine passports are the obvious conclusion after this continues. Now, even though they keep saying that, well, we're not going to force you. And even then, well, we're not going to even do it. We're going to let the community do it. It's just as wrong. This is what we're seeing. This is discrimination, shocking truth has to say, and should have no place on the UK. No place on the in the UK. These installations should be boycotted, or next it'll be vax passports, and we'll all know where that leads. This is it's St. Luke's Fitness and Sports Performance. Hashtag boycott. St. Luke's Fitness and Sports Performance. Anybody, guys, now is the time that we do this. Anybody, anywhere, who is making you show a vaccine passport or a COVID test or requiring you to wear a mask or doing anything that you feel restricts your constitutional rights, you should never go back. And you should make sure everybody you know knows that you won't go back and you recommend that they don't go back. These businesses should have to be penalized. From your perspective, not as a government, but from your perspective, when I talk about voting with your dollar, this is what I mean. You should never go back. And that's the penalty, right? Because they are doing something, one, that they're not allowed to do, they shouldn't be allowed to do, that's violating your rights, because the government is giving them the leeway to do it and they're taking advantage of it because they're virtue signaling, because they've been manipulated. In any case, they know that this is against the rules, against the law. Doing it anyway, because they think it makes them look like good people. So, show them that it hurts their business to put the government above their clients. But here's where it's obviously leading. And this is what we've been saying from the beginning. Quote, there is an opportunity here to use the COVID-19 pass as a building block for a digital infrastructure that could service public needs well beyond the pandemic. For example, in banking, education, or public health. Thank you, Mike, for sharing this alarming article. This is what we've been saying from the beginning, that they laugh at and say, you're such a conspiracy theorist. We're not trying to use COVID-19 to build in a digital revolution, but here's how we can use COVID-19 as a building block for a digital infrastructure that will change everything. But you're crazy. It's just silly. I mean, whether they even realize that they're doing that, this is exactly what we said we were warning about. And here's the article for yourself. Business needs a more unified approach to vaccine passports. Gee, where have you heard this before? On a video that was censored by YouTube. It says, like it or not, digital vaccine passes will soon be a fact of life. This is the mainstream continually telling you this will be your future. This is March, nonetheless, still relevant. Ursula von der Leyen, European Commission president, this week announced plans for a digital green pass. So get ready, Europe. It's coming. They're already planning it. They're already doing it. Israel, as you know, has already implemented the program, right? This is still people saying this is a fake news story. It's happening around them and they're laughing at us, which bestows privileged access to gyms, concerts, and other venues of the vaccinated. That's an apartheid. That's a medical apartheid. Nothing new for Israel, though. They're all about apartheid. Los Angeles is refusing to allow children, the Israeli government is all about apartheid. Los Angeles is refusing to allow children back to school without a health pass, and increasingly desperate businesses, in particular the airline industry, exactly what Derek Brose wrote about back in middle of 2020, and people said he was crazy, and here's exactly as it rolls out, as usual, are saying that they will not welcome customers without a vaccine passport. Saga Hotel Holiday, has all said its customers will have to show proof of vaccination before embarking on a cruise. While Qantas, we reported on that as well, expects passengers to do the same. So you shouldn't go on stage holidays. You shouldn't go in contests. You shouldn't work with any of these people. You should tell them that their business will suffer because they're putting their personal politics over your freedom, your rights, your liberty. It says the Common Pass, of course, is an initiative of the Commons Project in partnership with the World Economic Forum. Don't be alarmed that you'll see them underlining everything that's happening because they're just fighting for your future. They want it to be healthy and good and free for you as they own everything. And you're happy. You've never been happier except you have no freedom and have no agency. There is an opportunity here to use the COVID-19 pass as a building block for a digital infrastructure. You know, the Great Reset that could service public needs well beyond the pandemic. Or fill, you know, insert their serve government needs well beyond the pandemic. For example, in banking, education, and public health more generally, right? Because, you know, we often hear people screaming about how we need better banking, education, and public health. I mean, clearly education and public health. But the point is that's not how they're actually framing this. It's about the control side of it. It's not that you're going to have free healthcare for everybody. No, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about using these situations to create a digital future where you're tracked in the current situation that we have. Failure to collaborate risks leaving the world with a multi-tiered system that may see users held hostage to a particular type of platform or region. Oh no, so we don't want you to be held hostage to a particular one. We want you to be held hostage to the same one that we want to use. You see, so they don't want you to have to be like, oh no, I can't go over there because of this vaccine passport. They want you to think, oh, I can't go anywhere without their vaccine passport. You see, that's what they mean. It's just funny how they're like, oh no, you'll be held hostage. That's exactly what this whole thing will do. We don't care about apartheid in some places. We just want it to be apartheid over the whole world. Organizations with the clout of IATA and the Commons Project could use their resources to ensure widespread and global agreement on the standards to be set for this infrastructure. Remember that phrase? Remember that? You should, because I talked about it and specifically picked that out. The vaccine passport global deal back on March 11th. I picked this out, talked about it. Oh, and guess what? It's one of the videos that YouTube removed. You know, they sanitized before they gave back the channel that I still can't use because it's not really mine anymore. Hashtag boycott YouTube. But how funny is that? I wonder why they removed that one. Because the global deal is not real, apparently. Totally not real as they roll out the global deal for vaccine passports. It's just funny that they clearly are censoring the information that they don't want you to know about before they admit to it. As I've shown you many times before, here's the European roadmap from the EU. It's clearly talking about 2018 to 2022. Look what it says here. Vaccination card between those times, but now we're talking about vaccine passports in 2022. It's weird. They must have been psychic back in 2018 to know that this would be the exact time frame between 2021 and 2022 that these things would actually roll out. Isn't that funny? Or this was a plan, and this was always meant to be a plan. The global deal, the vaccine passport, ID 2020, all of it. All of it's tied to vaccines. It's not a secret. And in fact, all of it is really tied to a larger technocratic revolution. Here's the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, launching a national program for behavioral rewards. That's what this is, social credit. Just like China. Oh, China bad guy, but we're all doing the same thing, right? This is about control, and it's about a social credit system. It is about using your vaccine passport and whatever else to track and monitor and then reward you if you go along with what the establishment wants, and then penalize you. It's like not let you go into businesses, not go to concerts, and then eventually maybe not get what you need to get water or food or whatever else. That is the logical conclusion to an authoritarian, totalitarian, technocratic state. That's what they're doing here. Can't you see? Because all the good guys are doing all the behavioral rewards, right? The good guys, all the ones fighting with Israel and the United States are fighting for freedom by creating technocratic prisons and digital gulags around you right now. Initiative considered unique in the world, but it's not at all because China's doing exactly the same thing as it promotes rewards for positive behavior. It's funny how they would even say that, as clearly China is leading the charge in their authoritarian technocratic dictatorship. It's clear that they're doing that to people. So the point is, if you're on this two-party illusionist mindset where China bad guy, U.S. freedom, fighting for everything, realize they're both the same thing, doing the same thing. They're fighting for the same thing. And in fact, I argue they're probably working toward the same thing on the same side, mind you. But that's where it's all going. And as they just reported here, and I actually saw him say this in the speech, France's president says, quote, climate disorders are upon us. climate disorders. Remember how, because climate change is the next evolution of this. They're going to shift into, as CNN said, well, we learned lessons from this, and now we can use them for climate change. Or we've officially changed it to climate emergency. That's an official thing. And if it's an emergency, well, they can declare a state of emergency. You see where this goes? And it begins the whole process over again. And now apparently Macron is saying, well, we're now in the age of climate disorders. So now you're going to maybe get sick because climate, oh, it's going to be a virus because climate change. Oh, it's all going to tie in together. Welcome to your future. But lockdowns are obviously a huge part of this. We're keeping this illusion going. Lockdown Skeptic is doing a great job on this. If lockdowns are needed, why did more people die in the U.S. states which locked down than those which did not? Well, obvious answers. But I'm sure they'll have some kind of weird equivocation answer. But why? Oh, of course, as even Fauci himself said, which I'll show you in a moment, that, well, we can't be sure that they're doing what they're told. Well, cool. All sorts of maybes could be out there. How about we stick to what we can tell and the facts, right? Who did this and who did that and how did it end up? It's funny how we try to play this broad game now that we have more information, right? Isn't that funny? In the beginning, it was all about exactly what we can tell. And then it was like, well, let's wait and see. And now it's how we have all a year plus of information. Now they're going, well, it could be this, it could be that. We don't know for sure. It's almost like they're trying to hide something. Well, as it says here, during the autumn and winter, most U.S. states reimposed restrictions, but a few resisted. 11 states did not impose a stay-at-home order and left people at liberty to leave their homes whenever they wished. You know, like freedom, like we pretend we have in this country. Of these, 4, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and South Dakota, did not impose any restrictions at all and treated it pretty much like any other winter. In the chart above, he used the data from the Worldometer, which I've shown you many times, which means you can easily look it up for yourself, to plot the current total COVID deaths per million for each state. He colored the 11 states which did not lock down in red. He calculated the average for the two groups of states, those which did not lock down over the winter and those which did, and those are in yellow. Let's take a look. Okay. So the red states, which are clearly predominantly lower, it seems, than the majority of the larger ones, but the real point is that the average of the states that did not lock down is lower than the average of the states that did. I mean, this is exactly the kind of information that make a difference here. This is not hypothetical. This is not some Imperial College model. This is the real world data. That's not what you dismiss. You dismiss the Imperial College for continually being wrong. You look at this stuff and you factor it into the bigger picture. Now it says, as you can see, states which did not lock down over the winter, far from having many times more COVID deaths, have actually had fewer. This conclusion is reinforced by looking at the death tolls in the 4 states, which imposed no restrictions at all over the winter, the average of which is 1,716 deaths per million, which is still below that of those imposing lockdowns, which is 1,736 per million. I don't know how long they can keep getting away with denying this stuff, but they'll keep trying. It's our job to keep waking people up to this. Here's what Dr. Fauci continues to lie about in front of Congress. Take a listen to this.
You gave us a guess on Texas. Look at the chart here. This is 7-day average of case rate per 100,000 people. You gave us your guess on Texas. You said when Texas ended their lockdown, ended their mandate, that this was, quote, inexplicable and would lead to a surge in cases. Texas is near the bottom of the 50 states, but all the states at the top are lockdown states. So how great would that? That guess didn't seem to be too good. What explains why Texas is so darn low compared to the rest of the states? Lockdown states have a much higher case rate than the state of Texas, which is over a month ago now said, we're not going to lock down. We're not going to have all these mandates that you say we have to have.
Yeah. There's a difference between lockdown and the people obeying the lockdown.
So his argument, after he told us Texas would have a surge because they weren't doing what they were told, was that they didn't do what they were told in the other places, right? And these places that are having the surge is because they are listening, but the government is listening, but the people just aren't following the rules. But that's categorically false because you can see who is, they have numbers about compliance. So he's pretending there's some, well, we just don't know. They probably didn't follow it. What do you mean? The idea of these hypotheticals. This is supposed to be about science. And all we can say is, well, we don't know. They might have done something. So let's keep doing the thing that we can plainly see 100% is causing damage. 100% increase in teen suicide, child suicide, all sorts of other things. Those are facts. But let's pretend, let's just keep it going just in case, because Fauci said they might not be listening.
You know, you could have a situation where they say, we're going to lock down, and yet you have people doing exactly what they want to do.
Is that what is you could have that. But that's not what's happening in the vast majority of these states where they're aggressively applying this stuff. Of course, there's some, but those are the places where police are tackling people to the ground, where people are being yelled at by people from their buildings. Like it's like California in these places, which is getting crazy. At the very least, was incredibly severe and intense in their restrictions during the part where it increased the most. That's easy to look up.
Happening in the top 8 states in the country, they're just not following what's been told. They're not listening to Dr. Fauci.
That's a great thing to say right there, because you see, those top 8 states are all the ones that are supposed to be on the right side. We're all doing the right thing, and they're pointing to the other states and going, "Look at them with their mandate. They're removing the mask mandate. They're putting everyone at risk." So, is Fauci going to say, "Well, all of them are just apparently not doing their job"? No, because that would put him against the people who are on his side. Because this is what this is—a political game. It's not actually about what's really going on.
I'm sorry, you're speaking so fast. I'm not even hearing what you're saying.
See, he does this constantly. Constantly, I've seen him do this. And only lately, where he just pretends like he didn't hear what he said. Have you ever been in one of these rooms? It's very easy to hear what they're saying. I mean, it's just funny. Just recognize that, in my opinion, that's him trying to play a game here, so he doesn't want to have to answer the question.
I'm sorry, you're speaking so fast. I'm not even hearing what you're saying.
Well, you can look at the numbers.
I can't see that. It's too far away.
Okay, well, Michigan's at 551 cases per 100,000. Texas is at 77. Wisconsin's at 109 because their state Supreme Court overruled their governor, their Republican court, and said, we're not going to have a lockdown in Wisconsin. And their numbers are 5 times lower than the state of Michigan, which is right next door.
Gentlemen, time.
Anybody can see that that means something. Right next door. It's just ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Has expired.
But Mr. Chairman, it's typical when there's a question on the table that the witness gets a chance to respond to that last question. I want to know why.
Why
Wisconsin's at 109 and right next door, Michigan's at 551. Michigan is locked down and Wisconsin isn't.
I think the gentleman, answered you quite clearly.
He didn't. I find this to be hilarious. You guys notice, even the last two I've shown, more than this, where the chairman seems to answer Fauci's questions for him, but recognize what he says here. This is one of the most important parts. It's not even for Fauci. Listen to what this guy says. This is how they see all of us, and this is your Congress.
Didn't answer that.
There's a big difference in being a lockdown state by order and being a state that obeys orders.
Obeys orders, because that's how a democracy works, right?
That answered the question.
And by the way, he tries to say that. Jordan Peterson tries to say that, but you know, you can't hear him because this guy's talking. Listen,
in my opinion, obey
orders.
That answered the question.
Well, I don't want to hear
my opinion. Being a lockdown state by order and being a state that obeys orders. That answered the question, in my opinion. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Christopher Morphy.
Right. What he's basically saying there is we don't obey orders. We follow the Constitution. This is how they see you. You are peons. You are just people there. You are the plebs to do what they dictate. Like Fauci said, I don't see this as a liberty thing, right? They don't. They don't even consider your constitutional rights, which means they are treasonous. They are literally going against the Constitution, which makes them criminals. Not today, though, because we're being run by criminals. The inmates are running the asylum, or however that term goes. That's how this feels today. But Prime Minister open to home quarantine says no rush on international border reopenings. This is your lockdown. Other places in the world, this is actually incredible to me. I can't believe that this is where they are now. It says a senior minister has left open the possibility of returning travelers wearing ankle bracelets to ensure they do not violate a home quarantine system touted by the federal government. This is Scott Morrison. So I believe we're talking about Australia, correct? Yeah, Australia. So it says Prime Minister Scott Morrison on Sunday raised the prospect of fully vaccinated people in Australia. Fully vaccinated, going to home isolation when returning from abroad in a bid to free up hotel quarantine space. So not only do you have to wear a mask and distance, he's going to put an ankle monitor on your leg and quarantine you even when you're fully vaccinated. But let's pretend like we go back to normal. All these normies out there keep screaming right now, just go along with it so we can go back to normal. This guy's going to put a bracelet on you and make you quarantine at home or maybe in a hotel, depending on space, even if you've got two shots and waited weeks afterward. Crazy. What's crazy is that people like us know this is the case because they're literally saying it out loud. And then you go say something on Twitter and the people that are brainwashed by the CNN Foxes of the world are going to repeat what they were told. And act like you're an anti-vaxxer. And Scott Morrison literally said this out loud. Here's another horrific example of these lockdowns, how they're now in Ontario doing exactly what they did in New York. It says to ease capacity pressures on Ontario hospitals, even though that's really not the truth, by the way, remember, because all we're talking about is a specific COVID ward or an emergency room that's maybe 15, 20 beds max. And they closed everything else down because it's so dangerous, but it's not though. Right. All this hinges on their illusion that they're taking actions based on your safety when what they're doing is creating the illusion and you're not actually in that much danger. So so they're saying to ease the capacity pressures that they created in these hospitals, the government will begin transferring patients to long-term care homes, nursing homes, because apparently we haven't learned that lesson, where 6,000 beds are now available. The goal is to transfer 1,500 in the next 2 weeks. Some doctors say they might be too vulnerable and it's a disaster waiting to happen. But see, that's the way they play this, where they give you the other talking point. Some people warn it might be the wrong move, but we're going to do it anyway. I bet you those doctors they didn't even talk to doctors about it. They did what they're going to do, and they report that, so it seems like they gave a balanced report. No, we know it'll be vulnerable because we already saw it happen all over the world. New York was the most obvious and horrific example. By the way, New York accounts for like 50% of the numbers, at least it did when that was going on. That's crazy. That also shows you that was not really happening the way they said it was. But let's just jam them there in Ontario again. Maybe it's because they want to create the same illusion in Ontario. I said, my God, this is exactly what led to the obscenely high numbers in New York City. We all know this. Just like we all know the ventilators are mostly killing people, I find it increasingly difficult to not see this as intentionally dangerous. They were trying to create this. I mean, how else do you explain this choice? It's just crazy. But on a good note for Ontario, stemming off my show from 2 days ago, Canadian cops, and guys, this is a huge point in regard to the turning point. As I've said many times in the past, one of the most important turning points typically begins when the enforcement arm no longer enforces for the state. Canadian cops have refused to enforce Ontario's new police state COVID lockdown laws. Not everywhere, as I understand it, but it says about 50, that wasn't the right number. Where was it? A good portion of these people in Ontario are these police officers standing up and saying, we're not going to enforce this because they know that their oath is to the people, to protect the people, right? We know that the idea is not, let's just take it from a specifically United States standpoint because I'm much more familiar, right? They swear an oath to the Constitution, not to blindly enforce what the government tells them or what authority tells them. They have an oath to the Constitution, foreign and domestic. Enemies, right? That counts for government and for people coming outside or any people committing crimes. These are actual heroes that are standing up for the actual, for the, what their actual job is. So thank God. And this shows you again, this is the majority showing its face. As Naomi Wolf points out, God bless Texas, God bless Florida, God bless Sweden. When the history is written, the heroes will be clear and even more important. So will the villains, who will face investigations and criminal charges. I hope so. By the way, anybody out there, continue to ask Naomi if she would want to join the Greater Reset, because it'd be great if she wanted to speak. I believe she was talking to Derek. I want to see that happen. But as she points out, pretty normal life in San Antonio, or Ben points out, some people wearing masks, but not enforced, maskless the whole time, no vax passports either. Just recognize this, guys. This is the world that you don't live in right now if you go along with all of this. These people are fine. And in fact, as we continue to show you, the numbers in Texas have continued to exponentially decrease. I wonder why that would be. Living their life in the nice sun, out in the day, eating at a restaurant, out in a boat, at the lake, on the river, at the bar. This is the world that you're supposed to exist in, that your government stole from you. Well, UK governments, of course, have just simply called for more lockdowns. Because that's what authoritarian governments do. Continue to restrict their people for their own benefit. It's what our government's doing. It's what the UK's government's doing. It's what all these governments are trying to abuse all over the world. Time to stand up. Because the reality is, it's never been real in regard to the illusion they've been selling, right? Whether that means that this is really something that's there and it's just wildly oversold for the intention of this illusion or any other variation of the narrative, we have been lied to. Here is, and I'm going to show you a whole big string of these right now of specifically FOIA requests and from either FOI, Freedom of Information, or which is the UK, or FOIA with an A from the United States. Here's what they continually ask. How many people have died from COVID in this specific location from January 1st to March 20th, 2021? This is January 1st, 2020 to March 20th, 2021. This is to include only patients who have had positive COVID tests and have not died with pre-existing conditions. With pre-existing. Number two, how many patients at this location are there currently confirmed with COVID-19? To answer the first question, one patient in the hospital there died. Therefore, this is the data requested of inpatients' deaths of COVID-19 with the cause of death as contributing factor. One. Doesn't include care homes, it says. So they're asking, how many people there from the beginning of all of this to all the way to March 20th died only from COVID-19? One. Okay, how many people they have currently at the hospital? Because we're all swimming in coast cases and it's all overwhelmed, right? Zero. Okay, let's go to the next one. Here's another. This is East Kent Hospital. Just so you saw that one, maybe the podcast. This was Sussex Partnership. This is East Kent. This one asks, request the number of people that have died in this location from COVID-19 alone, right? As they say, East Kent Hospital University Foundation does not hold the information you requested. The reporting of COVID-19 deaths does not distinguish between those who have died from and those who have died with COVID-19. Right? You get that? So this one just refuses to answer the question. We don't even distinguish between those. So anybody who even came in who died from anything that got tested with a positive test is being deemed a COVID death. We know this, though. We all know this because we're paying attention, and they've openly admitted it. Again, they stated it out loud, and people on Twitter act like it's fake news. Here's another one. This is Royal Cornwall Hospital. I'm writing to request the number of people that died in Cornish hospitals in 2020 from COVID-19 alone. Here it says, from the 1st of January 2020 to the 31st of December 2020, four patients died across all these hospitals' trust. Not just one, the entire Royal Cornwall Hospital Trust, multiple hospitals, where COVID-19 alone was written on the death certificate. Four. I mean, really absorb this, guys. If you don't, this is obvious. This one says, I would like to request a freedom of information in relation to COVID-19 deaths following the NHS England's update on the 20th of April, in which they provided the breakdown of age and ethnicity. It says, I'd like to know how many people died in your hospitals from COVID-19 alone. The trust has reviewed this FOIA and can confirm zero patients have died from COVID-19 alone within our hospitals. Zero. From February 1st, 2020 to the 20th of December, 2020. Zero. The percentage of the number of people with underlying health conditions in the overall total. 0% of the overall totals as a per question number one response. The percentage of the number of those without. Zero. Shocker, right? Zero. Here's another. This is University Hospitals Plymouth. And this is the one that we've already shown you. When they ask specifically, how many from only COVID? It says the trust considers five or fewer deaths were related to patients who died following a positive COVID-19 test that did not have a pre-existing condition. Now, remember, that's a pre-existing. That's not caused by COVID. That's not a COVID. That's not a, you know, a secondary thing that was developed because of this. That's something they had before, which means that the people who are dying this, I mean, literally all of them are people that are sick, people that are already ill, people that have a compromised immune system. That's what they're showing us. Then it goes on to say, University Hospital Plymouth Trust takes the view that the actual number requested is too low to be disclosed. It's too close. Sorry. It's too low to be disclosed. The information is considered exempt from further supply in accordance with the Section 41(1)(a) of B of the 2000 Act. The trust received the information in confidence and it cannot be shared. So that means the government passed a law that said, well, if it's too low, which makes us look bad, don't show it. Or that's my opinion of it. But why would they have any act that tells them they don't show anything if it's lower than that number? Really ask yourself that. Here's another. This one I find interesting. Metropolitan Police. How many police officers have died in the front line of England? Like, because you'd argue there's a lot of these people that are confronting people and arresting them for not wearing masks and whatever else. So you'd argue they're literally the most at risk among people that are in the hospitals, right? What steps has the commissioner, first it says, how many police officers have died in the front line of England from coronavirus this year? I have to decide to disclose, where was it? How many police officers? Oh, it's down here. I have been advised that there have been no deaths on frontline officers in relation to the coronavirus. So zero. Seems odd, right? Going forward, this one got a little cut off. I would like to know the same thing. How many people have died in your hospitals alone from COVID-19? There were two such deaths. Two. Same time frame, guys. Two. The percentage of number of people with underlying health conditions. There were a total of 51 deaths within the period, 49 with underlying health conditions. Same thing. So it's one person or two, technically. So that's the same idea. Unbelievable. Now, here's a couple of other points that somebody shared with me. I think this was from a Twitter stream or thread, excuse me. Pointing out the illusion. So not just the hospitals lying about the numbers or hiding the numbers, but here's the mainstream media. Here's the BBC. Classic. One of the largest propagandists in the planet, as far as I'm concerned. BBC is one of the worst. Here's a story. African Europe migration leads to people dying. This is from 2014. Same picture. This is a person saying, this is Italy yesterday. Received 319 deaths in one day. You know, Mr. Blue Check over here. Because they're not lying to you or anything, right? They're not. This, you can see down here, 2020. They're not trying to misrepresent the situation or anything, right? We're going to revise update. It's all fear-mongering. Here's an interesting one. This is, as you can see, from 2018. And take note of what he circled right here. You can see the little flamingo floaty device and the three people. This is just about tourism. And it looks like Germany. I think it is Germany. In any case, here is them using the same picture in 2020 and claiming that, oh my God, look at all these people out in the open, even during COVID. But that's the same picture. So they lied to you. They're always lying to you because their job is. Their job is to lie to you. Here's another one that I thought was really telling in a mainstream paper. Based on data of U.S. deaths through August 23rd, 2020, the new CDC system counted 161,392 that were attributed to the virus. Using the older system, well, it was 9,684. But down here it says, did the CDC's decision to abandon an unknown proven effect? Like, I wonder why they leaned into the new system that exponentially increase the numbers. You know, who knows? I guess it was just for your safety. Well, somebody points out here that I want to make sure we don't forget. I keep trying to make sure we remember that this is not COVID-19 and the people waking up to it, the reality of it, are all over the political map, which makes me happy because it shows you that their ham-fisted, rushed narrative and their agenda is actually waking people up. In the right way, which is probably not what they want. I guarantee it's not what they want. But what we need to see is it's not as divided as they want it to seem. It's not left and right and there's different, you know, wedge issues on this. People are just simply unhappy and they see this. And as he's pointing out, this is what I keep saying. There's a certain sect of society and you call them whatever you want. He decides to call them blue collar moderates. He says that is starting to get pissed about the whole goalpost moving goalpost continually being moved. He says they're not woke, but they're not right. They're just people and they obey, but only to a point. And they're getting mad. He says they sometimes vote Republican. They sometimes vote Democrat. They have their pet issues that they really care about. But in general, they just vote for the person they like most. Right. This is the majority, guys. This is what they use the vocal minority to scream about what everybody wants them to think. But I would argue the bulk of this country are people that just kind of go along with what they think is best. They have their issues they care about and they don't. And they think they're the minority. That's the interesting part. But he says, don't see your grandkids for a year. OK, wear a mask. OK, get the shot. OK, keep doing it. No. GFY. I agree with this. And I think people are quickly beginning to see this from all walks of life, from all levels of two-party illusion. And they are beginning to say no more. We need to see that, lean into it, and show them what we know. from a nonpartisan standpoint, because people are waking up and they are desperate to try to pull us back into something. So I don't know what it's going to be, but there will be something. Now on masks, to wrap this up, I'm doing pretty well. We're going to probably, I don't want to say the time and then I won't meet it, but we're doing well. I'm not trying to necessarily make the shows shorter, but I'm going to try not to, you know, make it as long as possible. But I want to say this first in the mask part, and I keep saying this, but good news, New Hampshire lifts their COVID-19 mask mandate on the 16th. Why though? Right? It's good. And I agree. They should do it. You know my reasons. And you know that why I would say they should do that. But why did he do it? I don't know why nobody's asking this, right? What changed? Because here's the point. And I said this before. Either he realized they've been wrong this whole time, which could be the case. And if that's the case, then say that. And then hold yourself accountable for taking actions that destroyed your country or your state. Lockdowns, all the stuff they're doing, right? Or did you see new science that showed that, right? There's some variation here. And if it's new science, well, then show us what you saw. So we can then point to it and say, here's the facts. Or acknowledge that you made a mistake. At some point, you don't just get to just say, I decided we're going to change. And if you did, and it's based on literally nothing, then you have to admit that it's been arbitrary this whole time. Like, there has to be some sort of admission here, because they are clearly continuing to shift. And they're not giving us anything. They're just basically hoping we're happy enough to get some semblance back of what we thought was freedom. So we won't ask questions? No. I don't care if I support them or not. I don't care if I agree with their choices or not. We need answers. New Hampshire? Why? Florida? Why? What was the point? Why did you do it? And what was the information that led to that choice? I'm not happy unless we find out why. And even people like DeSantis, they still put you there. So they should be accountable for what catastrophes they created with the forced mask mandates and the lockdowns. There's a lot of them, and we've gone over them. Now, just to reiterate what I said the other day before we get into the video I'm going to play, this is just the reality to show you that, as they say in the media, on 12/30/2020, COVID-19 was consuming India until nearly everyone started wearing masks. That was way back, or that was over here. But here this says mask mandate for India, and immediately saw an increase. Then it kind of tapered. Then they came in and said, we have to do it and everyone has to wear them. And that's when they said it was good until they did that. And then it went up even higher. Shocking, right? It's almost like there's a correlation between the mask use lockdowns and the worst of the worst. Same thing here. Michigan has a high. Now it says, I'm watching people showing up in ERs with COVID symptoms. That number was on Monday. And it just shows you that Michigan, where was it? One of the places with a mask, I guess I had the secondary tweet that I've missed on there. But places that continue to have masks are continuing to see the spike. Here's Kyle Becker. Good morning, mask fanatics. And this is the point showing you that blue was the places that had them. And you can see that it's pretty damn 50-50. It's top or bottom in regard to it's either benefiting or it's hurting. The point is, that means, as he points out, it's not statistically significant. So it's not actually doing what you're saying it's doing, even based on your data. Just remember that. This is very, very clear. In Ontario, same thing. They've been obsessive about masks, and we continue to see the crazy spike. All the places that have removed the mask mandates are seeing exponential decreases. Do you want to know why? Because these things are dangerous. And as the Stanford study that I continue to show you, if it pops up again, cool, there it is. This is a huge one from January 2021 from Stanford. And it tells you exactly what we have always been telling you. Pretty powerful too. I recommend you read it. And this is being censored all over the place. Despite being from Stanford, despite being a very powerful, well-sourced, look at this, 65, and all these studies, 67, all these you can look at for yourself. All of them, half of these are meta-analysis of actual random control trials. The other ones are random control trials. All these are of studies in mass, and this is one of the best that I've seen. And people trying to make fun of it are going like, oh, well, it's one guy making claims, and I didn't even cite their material. Like, really? They're just flat out lying, knowing that people won't even look for themselves. But it says the existing scientific evidences challenge the safety and efficacy of wearing face masks as preventative intervention for COVID-19. The data suggests that both medical and non-medical face masks are ineffective to block human-to-human transmission of viral and infectious disease such as SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19. Supporting against face masks. Wearing face masks has been demonstrated to have substantial adverse physiological and psychological effects. These include hypoxia, hypercapnia, shortness of breath, increased acidity and toxicity, activation of fear and stress response, fight or flight, which creates cortisol, which makes your body's immune system shut down, rise in stress hormones, immunosuppression. Interesting there, right? Because we're talking about immunosuppression being something that's causing the vaccine not to work, fatigue, headaches, decline in cognitive performance, predisposition for viral and infectious illness. So it makes your body easier and it's more apt to get sick. So wearing the mask increases your risk of getting sick. This is what the British Medical Journal found in their only random controlled trial of cloth masks. It's what we keep telling you. Chronic stress, anxiety, depression, on and on. This is Stanford from January 2021, and it's being censored. Does this not tell you everything you need to see? Well, let's listen to a PPP expert, Stephen Petty. Now, this is a show Dr. Douglas G. Frank I'm not familiar with. Somebody shared this with me. But there's two doctors, and this is a PPE expert, personal protective equipment. Now, let's take a listen. Now, actually, I think I was starting here. Yeah, here we go. I believe... Just double check. Yeah, let's move this to the end just in case. Okay, let's take a listen.
Just to summarize what I'm going to tell you today, and probably in the next 15 minutes, personal protective equipment is the least desirable way to protect people, mainly because...
And remember, this guy is an expert.
It's uncomfortable and people don't wear it properly. You see this with evidence, and masks are not personal protective equipment. So what you see is these people, when they wear masks, they're down below their nose, they're... with facial hair, I mean, it's a joke. The other thing that's going on is that the science is really suggesting that the material of concern are these small aerosols.
Well, what
now,
do you
remember
know?
We started with surfaces. Then we went to droplets. And now you start to see some science crack out there that says, ooh, maybe aerosols.
Well, where have you heard that before? Right? It's almost like you've been listening to somebody actually researching the facts and actually reporting them to you.
I'm here to tell you, I did calculations a year ago in March saying aerosols.
Exactly.
So instead of being surfaces, droplets, aerosols, it should have been aerosols.
I wish I'd met you in March because I would have put your stuff on the page along with the rest of our science.
And the reason is that these smaller particles, and I can tell you that from experience in working with silica and asbestos and other, where I've actually testified, even if there's a spectrum of sizes of particles, the little ones are most concerned because they get into the deep lung. Whereas the larger droplets...
Actually, let me grab something really quickly. Let me see if this might be better. I feel like it's a little low. I feel like I downloaded that. Let me check real quick. Maybe not. Let me know in the chat. Is that a little too low for you guys? The volume there? I think I'm just going to grab. Let me do this real quick. Let me grab this. I'll play a little clip for you while I grab it.
I heard earlier that there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle, and nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about. And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection and where it goes when it gets into the body and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information. There are scientists in Europe who've actually done studies on the aluminum nanoparticle and have shown that it can persist
Mr. Petty,
in the brain
I just want
for years to... and decades.
Okay. So this, I see you guys said it was fine, but a lot of people have quite a bit different volume setups. So this will be better in general. So I can, and I can also scroll through it. So where were we? 527. There we go. This will be better in general for the sound.
Let's either follow the from experience in working with silica and asbestos and other, where I've actually testified, even if there's a spectrum of sizes of particles, the little ones are most concerned because they get into the deep lung. Whereas the larger...
That's actually an important point, get into the deep lung, right? This gets into the concept of what we're talking about in regard to bacterial pneumonia, and not just about COVID-19, right? Remember that one of the many of the studies we've talked about are discussing how the mask itself is one of the biggest causes of the aerosolization of whatever, right? So wearing that thing aerosolizes other things that can then be breathed in down into your lungs, such as staphylococcus and whatever else are the leading causes of bacterial pneumonia, which is clearly a cause of a lot of the stuff that are happening today. Remember that in the Kansas flu, wrongly called the Spanish flu, they have admitted in a lot of different studies that it was actually the vast majority was bacterial pneumonia. I think it's because of the masks. Fauci never said that, but that's what I think it is. I think that's an obvious tie, possible at least. And so as we see it now, it's an obvious question to ask.
Droplets either fall to the ground or they get taken up by the mucous tissues and don't get as deep. And the other thing I'm going to talk about is the way that you deal with this issue is to use the concept called engineering controls. And in this case, the key is dilution and destruction. And we'll talk about that at length. Next, please. This is a great little chart. It's called the hierarchy of controls to minimize exposures. This is a fundamental concept in industrial hygiene that's been around for 100 years. And what it does is list the things you want to do first and last in order to control people's exposures. The first one, substitution or elimination, really doesn't apply to COVID. That would be if you have a really hazardous material to substitute with a less hazardous material. That doesn't apply here. The next most effective thing you can do is what we call engineering controls, and that is for any particular contaminant or hazard, either dilute it, destroy it, or contain it. Well, it's kind of hard to contain COVID, really, so the keys here are dilution and destruction. The next one is administrative controls, which means let's limit the time and space. Now, I'm here to tell you that the place you're going to get diseases in indoor spaces, not outdoor spaces. When I heard people like the governor of New York say, well, we want to keep everybody indoors, don't go to the parks, don't go to the beaches, I want to pull my hair out.
Now, doesn't that make, I mean, think of the point that we keep talking about, that every single action that was taken clearly seems to lead to more illness. So here's another example. And this is a no-brainer, guys, that they jammed everybody inside, especially in nursing homes, when clearly, based on logic from before this, that it was more that the best thing we could have been doing was going to the beach, the park, and everywhere else.
Because the place I want them is outside, not inside, because everybody knows that contaminants build up indoors, not outdoors. And the last and least effective in this hierarchy of controls is PPE, and for respiration or protecting the lungs, that would be respirators. And masks don't even fall on this list of controls. That's the interesting point.
So you hear that? So respirators. This is a PPE expert. And I'll tell you that masks aren't even considered PPE until COVID-19.
Okay, next.
Now, actually, let me see.
And these are real respirators. Here's a half. The one on the right is a half-faced one. And the bottom of the barrel for a respirator would be an N95.
So even that, the N95, which is supposed to be the best one you can wear for COVID, is the bottom of the barrel, as he's talking about. For like the obvious thing to point out is what do people actually wear when they work with things like coronaviruses? They wear a full body hazmat suit. But yeah, like the point is your handkerchief will be just fine. You know, even the N95s, people are trained to use them. They're fitted to your face, right? It's a joke what they are pretending what we're doing is doing anything.
They're, I guess, technically a respirator, but not a very good
one. By the way, other than actually increasing your risk of illness and causing you to get sick, which I've proven 100 times over.
Masks don't even fall in that category. An interesting story. I came down from Ohio to Florida yesterday, and I was wearing my half-face respirator. And two-thirds of the way down, for the third time, I was told that I had to remove it and put on a little thin surgical mask.
You guys hear that? So he's wearing this thing on the right, which is way, way better than any kind of even N95. And they're telling him you have to take that respirator off and wear one of those flimsy blue medical masks, which are not even actually there. It's called medical mask because it looks like what they, but they're not used. It's not what's actually used in hospitals. That's one of the things that most people are most confused about.
And I tried to explain to the people that I was an expert in PPE and that I was protecting myself.
So he even told them, I'm an expert in this stuff. And they're like, no, I'm a TSA. You have to wear the blue mask because that's much safer. Because they know, right? Because it's just so ridiculous.
They were insistent that they would not let me fly again unless I put on this little mask. And I pointed out to the flight attendant, I said, you see those gaps where I could stick my finger through your mask? You have no protection.
Right. That's a great point. I agree with that. What somebody's saying is the respirator won't protect you from, these things are not made to stop viruses, right? This is an important point. Even the half-face respirator, there are things that can be fitted, I would argue, but the ultimate point is these in a general sense are not made that way, right? And that's even what he'll talk about in general. You should watch this whole thing. It's very interesting. But that ultimately, people who are trying to stop themselves from getting sick with these things wear hazmat suits, which is the point.
But it was useless, so I had to take it off and put on, I had an N95 as a backup.
That's crazy. Okay, here we are. This is the next point.
And they say they recommend it. Let's continue. OSHA either is misleading it.
OSHA is the, I want to try to remember. It's driving me crazy. The official safety, dang it, I can't remember. Occupational safety and health. I can't believe I forgot that. I've worked with this general stuff for so long in restaurants. It just lately things seem to be like, I have so many random acronyms and abbreviations flying through my head. It's funny how these things just slip my mind. But it's important to remember, this is the one we brought up way in the beginning of all this. I feel like I was one of the first people to talk about this only because I remembered this from a restaurant scenario and somebody pointed this out to me and said like, hey, here's what OSHA says. And I was like, well, that's right. Like, this is an important discussion. And this was specifically in regard to the level of oxygen in the atmosphere, right? In there's levels that they say are unsafe for working. And the point was that behind the mask, when graded with one of these OSHA grade level monitors, it was lower than that. Right, just early on, we saw that this thing was not safe for you, and now we're finding even the Stanford study, clear from the one we just showed you about masks, clearly says it causes hypoxia, hypercapnia. Hypoxia being a low blood oxygen level, hypercapnia being an increased carbon dioxide in your blood.
At best or dishonest at worst. Here's a slide that shows on page one. They say they recommend. They always say recommend. They don't say require. We recommend you wear a mask. But you go into page six and it says some interesting things. Surgical masks are not respirators and do not provide the same level of protection to workers as properly fitted respirators. In fact, they provide almost no protection. And cloth face coverings are also not acceptable substitutes for respirators.
Look at that. This is from the very group that their job is to regulate the safety and the environments around these things. And it says surgical masks are not respirators and do not provide the same level of protection. Cloth face coverings are also not acceptable. But here we are.
This is a tacit admission, as it should be. As I say to people, if I ever recommended in court that people...
But I wanted to definitely...
The next one, CDC is really no better.
This is great. This is the CDC, which is far more relevant to what everyone is talking about right now.
I found this on their website. I blew it up on the right, and I said masks versus respirators. I won't read it all, but it says...
And just so we remember, guys, and you can see this for yourself, this was recorded March 22nd, 2021, right? So this is on the CDC website as of March 22nd.
Masks
do not provide the wearer with a reliable level of protection from inhaling smaller airborne particles and is not considered respiratory protection.
Did you hear that? Let me read it myself. Masks does not provide the wearer with a reliable level of protection from inhaling smaller airborne particles. This has always been the understanding. It is the barrier in regard in order to stop spit and phlegm from flying out of your mouth in an open wound while you're in surgery. It's not about protecting you from viruses. It's not about protecting the other person from viruses. It is not capable of stopping smaller airborne particles and is not considered respiratory protection. Period. The point is that they keep trying to play this droplet game. But I just showed you where they admitted it was aerosols. I mean, this is the reality. The science shows that. That's why they tried to play that game, went back to droplets, because they can pretend it stops droplets. But even then, I showed you the study, and I'll show it again since I always show it constantly, from the British Medical Journal, that very clearly says that even droplets, British Medical Journal, it's the only random controlled trial of cloth masks that I've seen from 2015. It says penetration by the cloth mask particles was almost 97%. They're talking about droplets. Almost 100% of the time. Even medical masks, 44%. Now, I'll get back to that point I made about how they're not, these aren't the masks. They're actually, these are the kind you buy at Walgreens. That's what they mean when they say medical masks.
Well, if it's not, why are we wearing it?
By the way, does not.
Leakage around the edges of the mask when user inhales. I'll get to this in a bit, but there's no seal with the mask. That's right. The problem.
And you're going to laugh when I show you this CDC video where they talk about that. It's not possible to seal a medical mask around your face. It's just not. They're not made that way.
Freeway for anything to come and go. And when they say, well, you protect others, even if it doesn't protect you or vice versa, I said, does the little virus care whether it goes through the window opening on one side or the other?
Right, exactly.
The freeway. That's a great word. The freeway. Go ahead.
Next.
Now, I thought the majority of what I wanted to show here, let me just kind of skim along. This is interesting in regard to talking. Basically, all they're telling you is that this is aerosols, which is how these things spread, are getting through. Even the N95s, even most of the stuff. And they show you what he shows you here, which is pretty interesting, actually. This was a study, he said, about monkeys, I guess, and in regard to COVID. But they did, and you can actually see, oh, I guess I can't zoom in on this for you, but the top red little square, it shows you the breakdown of the microns, and it goes 0.3 down to 10 microns, right? Remember, COVID is like 0.1 to 0.3, I guess, and some even say it's a little even smaller than that. But what they're showing you there is the black is the 10 micron level stuff. That's the droplets. What he says is droplets are usually 5 to 10 microns. What he's showing you there is that the black is the how many are produced and how much is spread, right? So the point being is that the droplets don't really do much. Most of them, and the red dotted lines are, I believe, the distance. And that goes to 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000. Let's see. Oh, it's right at the bottom there. No, it's not. In any case, the point is that the blue are the under 0.3. Look at how much more and how much farther, right? That's the point. And that's what we're dealing with. Your mask can't stop that. And that's an important thing to consider. Going forward, this is one that I've already kind of shown you, that the black circle represents the size of hair, human hair, right? The radius of a human piece of human hair. That's how, and the red dot in the middle of that black circle, that's a micron. Remember that we're talking about 0.1 for COVID-19. So that red dot is 1 micron inside of one piece of hair. Now, as I pointed out the other day, are you telling me that that piece of hair can't slide through a mask? That's the aerosolized issue, and that's what we know is happening, and the media just won't tell you. Now, there's a lot in here that I recommend you take a listen to. It's great. It's a really good discussion. And thank you for who sent that to me. I appreciate that. There's just a lot of good stuff in there. But the reality is that he's an expert of PPE who is telling you that we are being deceived. they're wrong. They're either misunderstanding or they're lying or they're something much more nefarious. We know that this is not what we're being told. And here, as I've shown you before, I'll read a little bit of this time, is an article from a doctor who is telling you COVID masks save lives, apparently, and that they should still going forward, that we should keep using them forever. This pandemic, get this, has unequivocally proven the public health value of masks. Right. This is, again, we have experts speaking out all over the place. And this is a doctor who's a mainstream doctor who's just towing the line. Most of all, I will not miss. No, let me say something just for fairness. Is it possible that I'm completely wrong, that he's completely wrong, that the Nobel laureates and the PhDs and the doctors and scientists are all wrong that agree with what I'm saying? Of course it is. Is it possible that she's correct and that we're missing something? Yes. I would love to see it, though. You want to show me what that is? I will entertain it. I'll read it. I'll consider it. And I'll talk about it. I am pretty certain that the information in front of us is pretty damn clear. And as I go through the things that she says, I know that most of them aren't true because I've shown you the actual science from the British Medical Journal, from The Lancet, from Oxford, from the places they tell us to listen to. Here's what she has to say. Most of all, I will not miss treating the rooms full of people gasping for breath from the virus. Okay, was that an analogy or was she just sort of saying that she's gasping for breath while wearing a mask, but that's okay? Just interesting point to start on. But it says, I do hope, though, that a few things stick with us after SARS-CoV-2 becomes less of a threat. I mean, it's not really a threat now, but we can let that go. Respect for masks is at the top of the list. Respect for them. You see, not just wear them, respect them, revere them. Once the majority of us have been vaccinated against COVID-19, masks will become less necessary. Well, that is a flat out lie because they're openly telling you that. Look, she's telling you right now that they're going to be a part of your life forever, but she just has to plug the lie. Do this and everything will go back. But then I'm going to go on later in the article to argue why they never will go away. But just trust me when I say that do this and you can go back to your life. Like, how stupid is this? That's inherently contradictory to the whole argument in this article. Less necessary. That's the cap. That's the slide, right? But when the majority becomes vaccinated, well, that's not even close to happening. And it's clear that it's not going to happen unless they force on everybody. Then it goes on to say mandates for public masking will be lifted and universal masking will become less common. Well, they have openly stated that that's not what's going to happen, that you'll have to continue to wear your mask. So she's just selling the lie. But the pandemic has unequivocally proven the public health value of masks, and they should stick around for certain situations, right? Because Bill Nye said, well, that non-scientist, non-doctor Bill Nye, well, he just knows, right? He knows exactly what the government wants him to say. Well, it says masks have never been controversial in healthcare. Well, that's just simply not true. I've shown you a litany of studies. I've shown you studies from back all the way to like 1968, I believe. They clearly argued that masks were unnecessary, argued that they didn't even show an effect. These were going way back. This has been a contentious issue forever. It's only become a public contentious issue with COVID-19, you see? And all the people that were towing the mask line all before this were happy to jump on it again. And then you got the people that were willing to stand up and go, but wait a minute, this was a discussion before. You're anti-masker, anti-vaxxer, crazy person. That's all that happened. It's always been that way. And she knows that. So she's continuing to lie here. My mask wearing clearly protects my patients from spit and from drop and phlegm, not from viruses. That's why we wear masks in the operating room. Well, that's sort of the truth, but she's saying something true there by insinuating that protect means from viruses, but it doesn't. They've never worn masks in operating rooms to protect people from viruses. That's not why it's done. And surgeons will tell you that. I've shown you many of them standing up and saying that in the public. But masks also protect me, she says, whether from a coworker with the flu or a patient with tuberculosis, even though the size of those things are too small to be stopped by the pores in your mask. And the fact that you're talking about medical masks in general, I mean, this is a complete, utter fallacy. They don't. They do not have that effect. Every single study that I have shown you, the random controlled trials, the peer-reviewed science says they do not have a statistically significant effect on transmission. But here she is blatantly lying to you. And then she goes on to say, and here's the best part of this. So get it that she's telling you that masks protect you and they stop this and that they know that. And they've always known that, right? That's clear. Then she goes on to say, mea culpa, like she's going to apologize here. I and other public health experts were very wrong about the value of public masking at the start of the pandemic. Remember? Because they said, don't do it. It doesn't work. They were lying is what she's saying. And she says, our statements were based on well-founded fears of hoarding. Again, don't misunderstand this. She is openly saying, we lied to you for your protection. But that's not happening today, everyone. Good God. But just get that. That's the same thing Fauci said. Well, I was lying because it was for the hoarding and blah, 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 blah. No, they were telling you the truth and the narrative shifted. But here's what it says. But it says our guesses about the value of public masking turned out to be profoundly incorrect. Wait a minute. Okay, so were you lying because it was for our best interest, or were you guessing wrong? Right? She just made two completely different statements right there. Our experts were very wrong about the value of public masking. So they were wrong and they made lies based on their concerns for hoarding. But our guesses about the value turned out to be incorrect. I mean, how does that even make sense? Sorry, I just highlighted that like I tend to do. It just shows you that she's playing it both ways there. We lied to you for your best interest, but we were wrong. It says we quickly learned that many of our assumptions that drove the early recommendations about public masking were frankly wrong. Again, so you made assumptions about that we didn't need to wear them. You just admitted you only said that because you were afraid we were going to hoard. But now you realize you were wrong. Were you wrong about lying? Were you wrong about, you see what I'm saying? This is ridiculous. This is just muddled and doesn't make any sense unless you quickly realize that she's trying to simultaneously argue that, well, we said they didn't work, but we knew they did. But then we were wrong about assuming they didn't work for you. But then we just admitted we weren't even doing that. It all makes perfect sense. Just be quiet, go back to sleep and wear your mask. It says, but by early April 2020, we had realized how important public masking could be. You just said you knew before this. You just said you've always known. This is pathetic. Right? I mean, I'm not crazy. This article starts by saying, we've always known and masks have always been good and that's the best thing and everybody should know. And then says, well, we lied to you because we knew always and we just wanted you to hoard. But then says, we realize now in 2020 that they have always, I mean, what? How is it that we're the only ones that can see how stupid that is? And then it goes on to say, because SARS-CoV-2 is spread by asymptomatic as well as symptomatic. Nope, sorry. The science makes that clear. Now, guys, I'm not pointing to one and she's pointing to another. All the studies around asymptomatic have been pretty damn conclusive that it's either very small or almost non-existent. So they keep saying that because they know it floats their narrative. And this is a doctor we're talking about. Now, she's either choosing to trust authority because that's how she was told smart people operate, or she knows she's lying and she's doing it anyway. Either way, I don't know why anybody would trust this person. She says, but get this, because the virus spreads by aerosols. Thank you for saying that. Let's see, well, I forget her name. Dr. Megan Ranney, associate professor of emergency medicine and public health at Brown University. Please don't go see her. Here's what's funny. She admits that they spread by aerosols, even though that's not really the narrative because she knows that's the truth and probably doesn't know she's not supposed to say it. But here's the interesting part. Remember, he just told us that aerosols are the exact reason that masks don't stop these things. That was the whole point. A PPE expert. So when she admits that they are spread by aerosols, she's admitting that the mask won't stop it. Right? I mean, we just went over this where it's telling you right here that 97% of droplets go right through the mask. Okay. So if it spreads by aerosols, so too do those. And around the sides and around the top and in your mouth and it's all over the place. Just recognize how obvious this is completely broken down as propaganda. It says, with good masks, okay, which ones are the good ones? Well, she won't tell you. Can you stop breathing in the viral particles expelled by someone across the room? Although the N95s are the equivalent of the most reliable, except the PPE guy just told you those are the pretty much not even, if you're going to do anything other than respirator, then you're not actually even talking about stopping any kind of a virus. And N95s are, as much as he said, they conflate those terms, are not respirators. But she's going to tell you that's the most reliable. N95s are called N95s because they stop 95% of the size of particles that they're out there. Guess what falls in the five it won't stop? You guessed it. Things under 0.5 microns, which falls in the category of COVID-19, which is 0.1. So it means that N95s won't stop it by simple mathematics. But she doesn't care about that because she's a doctor. We have learned that even cloth masks, apparently she says, can do a terrific job at filtering out the virus when good-fitting, well-made, and appropriately used. So the cloth mask can be a bandana, it could be something you buy at the gas station, it could be anything. As long as it's good-fitting and well-made. Well, is there a regulator that gets to do that? Nope, there's no regulation of any of these things. So I guess we don't know what qualifies as good-fitting and well-made and appropriately used. But who cares? Because the doctor said masks work no matter what. Isn't that stupid? And here's the point. Again, the only random controlled trial, this is The Science from the British Medical Journal on cloth masks that literally say right here that they do not recommend them. And it says that moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. And it clearly says, as a precautionary measure, cloth masks should not be recommended. So here's a doctor telling you the exact opposite and telling you the science says that, even though it doesn't. Isn't that great? This is why we're censored, guys. This is why we're censored, because they don't like what we expose. Also recognize what she says next. She says, in other words, when people mask up, whether with cloth or surgical grade masks, we dramatically decrease the rates of transmission. That's not true. In fact, the science shows you the opposite of that. But just keep stating the facts that are not true because you like masks, apparently, or because you're part of some agenda. But surgical grade masks. Why don't we look up surgical grade masks and see what pops up? Oh, nothing. Because there's no such thing as a surgical grade mask. There's medical grade surgical masks. And there's medical masks. There's all sorts of underlings of that. But there is no such thing as surgical grade, at least as far as I can tell. Because what you have are medical grade masks. That's what doctors use. The surgical masks, when just stated like that, are the ones from Walgreens. Or medical or surgical, but surgical grade are the only ones we're talking about here. And you can scroll down and see this. They are not, while they are not medical grade, non-medical grade mask, medical or surgical grade, right? Or excuse me, medical. Sorry, that was confusing. I'm specifically saying medical grade. I think I mixed up the things that I was saying that. She's saying surgical grade. Medical grade masks are what doctors use. Sorry, that was probably confusing. Especially for the podcast. But as I'm showing you on the screen, that you can't see on the podcast, medical grade, right? That's the important part. And they non-medical versus medical grade masks. That's the point. Not the, just surgical masks are what they call these things that are used at Walgreens and you buy at the store. They are not used in doctor's offices. So how about we look at the next part? What is a medical grade mask? Medical grade masks. Proven to effectively block 95%. These are the ones that they wear in the doctor's office. Okay, so is it odd that the doctor here who is arguing for masks uses a term that's not actually used or uses a term that's used to just kind of conflate the idea of the ones that aren't actually medical grade, the ones that are used in the hospital by calling them surgical grade masks, conflating surgical masks and medical grade? Yes, let's not pretend like that's on accident. Certainly could be. I don't think it is, because this whole article is about manipulating you into thinking these things are good for you, when in fact they're actually hurting you and putting you at increased risk, according to the science. Even once the pandemic is mostly contained, she says, there will likely be sporadic outbreaks of COVID-19 for years to come. And here's the way she circles back to saying, you're going to be doing this forever. There's going to be sporadic outbreaks forever, particularly in areas with low vaccination rates. Ah, you see, or when novel variants appear. So anything, anytime, anywhere, right? Because remember, they're investing $1.7 billion in sniffing out these random variants wherever they can find them and then locking everybody down for fear that it could be bad, which is what's happening everywhere. They're telling you right there, low vaccination rates. So all you're going to have is medical pre-crime stuff that are going to say, oh, well, they're going to get sick over there because they didn't get vaccinated. Then you're going to have a lockdown. You're going to have pneumonia and mass spread and everything else. I mean, this is a recipe for a continued totalitarian dictatorship. That's what it feels like to me. In those cases, it says, we should be willing to once again temporarily mask up to keep our community safe until the outbreak can tamper down. So you should be willing to completely go, I mean, you could say a million things right there, but, you know, go against your constitutional rights, do something you disagree with. I mean, the point is she's telling you that you should just go along because they tell you you're in danger, just like last time. But look how well that worked out for us. There will also be, this is crazy to me, also be, excuse me, she says, there will also always be groups of people who are not fully protected from COVID-19, even after being vaccinated. Again, telling you, there's plenty of people out there that are going to get vaccinated. It won't matter. So why should you get it? But here's the crazy part. Those folks should be encouraged and supported in masking in public. You get what she's insinuating, or not even insinuating, basically stating, if you aren't vaccinated, or if you're someone that just simply can never be vaccinated, you get to wear a mask for the rest of your life. That's what she's stating. We should encourage them to wear masks all the time because they can't get vaccinated. So the vaccine is the only thing. You can have natural immunity. Doesn't matter. You have the vaccine. It's like what Israel's saying. By maintaining masking in crowded places for the rest of us, on public transportation in malls or in indoor locations, we destigmatize protecting the vulnerable. Right. So for them wearing those masks for us, even though we're all vaccinated, remember, think about how dumb that is. She's literally saying that we're all vaccinated, but the ones who aren't have to wear masks for our protection. What? I swear that there are people out there that are, this is gospel. And they're just like, oh, you can't. Of course that makes sense because of, and they'll give you some rattled off weird, equivocating, bending over backward thing they explain to make that sort of make sense. Well, some people who have the vaccine or immunocompromised might not be able to fight it off. So the masks are important. It's like, for crying out loud, guys, you're masking people who aren't sick or because they might be sick because of people who are vaccinated might not be able to fight it off. What in the world? We are in a really crazy spot right now. It says, finally, I have been struck by the impact of universal masking on other respiratory diseases. And you know where this is going. The flu disappeared. We're doing great. I can't believe that they're actually, they know that we know this is happening. And so they're trying to get ahead of it. I can count on one finger the number of cases. And she says, really? Because she means that. The number of cases of influenza I saw in my emergency department this winter. So less than five. The whole winter. And we're supposed to pretend like that makes sense because masks, right? Even though that's not working for COVID-19, they really think we're that stupid. Based on national data, the same is true across the whole country, even in places that didn't mask. What do you know? Because it just magically worked there too, right? Although SARS-CoV-2 is far worse than the flu, even though it's not, the flu is not benign. In a normal year, it is estimated to kill 12,000 to 60,000 people. The total lack of flu this year is a tremendous gift. Less than five, she saw. So 60,000 to less than five in her hospital, and we're going to pretend, or I guess that's not fair, 60,000 total, less than five in her hospital, and we're going to pretend like the masking that was only really applied largely in some places worked everywhere in the country the whole time. What a gift! Or it's more likely that they just completely shoved those cases over into COVID-19 and called them COVID-19. Because we already showed you that they talked about zero cases, nobody with no other conditions. These were other things they named COVID, and they admitted it to us multiple times. Here's the final thing, she says. When we're all willing to wear masks, even just in certain situations, the mask both loses its stigma, which it shouldn't, and gains power, which is what they want, to protect all of us from both big threats like COVID-19 and smaller threats like the flu, which is not what they want. They want the power over us. That's what they want. It no longer signals that a person is sick. It never really did, to be honest. That was never a thing. It was always, at the very most, it was people wearing them for smog and stuff like that in other locations. And you had the people who wore them because they thought it did something. By and large, that was never the case. That's only become the case with COVID-19. Or that a person is strange, nor that they have a particular culture or ethnic background. Isn't that a weird tie-in? So now suddenly, like, Muslims are, it's not as much of a stigma because we wear masks too. Like, what? That's just weird and cringy to me. It is no longer, and there's no way meant to undermine or disparage people that are Muslims. I just think it's weird. They're trying to compare, like, as if I was a Muslim, I feel like that would be insulting to me. It says, it is no longer scary or felt to be an imposition of our rights. Oh, thank you for stating that. think this way. That, of course it is. It's no matter how you feel fuzzy about it, it's always an imposition on our rights. That's what it is. Mask wearing can simply signal that we care about others' health and about our own. Except it doesn't at all, because wearing it makes you increase your risk of infection. It increases your risk of getting sick, and it increases your risk of all sorts of other things. But let's pretend that way so we can force people to do what you think is right. Now get this. Check out Taylor Swift's flowery mask at the Grammys, Jennifer Aniston's famous face mask. As the parent of an almost teenager, I can tell you that her mask has become her favorite new accessory. It has become a form of self-expression or a marker of being a part of the in-group. gross. It is also a growing domestic business opportunity, even more gross. That's just, you know, casual moment, you know, points on the way out. We can make lots of money and it means you're in the inner circle, but it protects you though. Gross. I mean, it just makes me skin crawl, like the disgusting pandering that's happening here. This is the reality, guys. Here is the WHO. Medical masks. In their weird, like, GIF video, it's really strange. You can't pause it, but you can start it. It's weird. But what they're doing is showing you who should wear them. Everyone, apparently. Even people in the hospital, right? So doctors, no, they don't wear them, WHO. But you're happy to lie about that. Right? We're talking about the different kinds of masks here. And the ones they just showed them wearing, that's not the case. So here's what's interesting, though. They're telling you people who are over 60, people who have underlying conditions, should be wearing masks. They don't really seem to mention everybody. And I'm going to show that again in the next one. People who weren't, they're telling you to wear fabric masks. They're telling anybody who's not sick to wear a fabric mask. Do you realize that? That is making people sick. Well, in the sense of the podcast, actually, I'll just kind of, I'm going to come down to this one. Check this out.
Medical masks should be worn by health workers and those caring for someone with COVID-19 symptoms.
Now recognize she didn't say medical grade masks. And I'm not making that up. It's very different. Medical masks are the way they're marketed at Walgreens. Medical grade masks are different. They are. So it's funny that even the WHO, I guess, just forgets to say that, I guess.
Worn by health. Medical masks should be worn by health workers and those caring for someone with COVID-19 symptoms. Persons age 60 and over, and anyone with pre-existing medical conditions, as they are at greater risk of developing serious illness, and people who have symptoms suggestive of COVID-19.
So that's it. That's what they're saying. Only those people should wear medical masks. Everybody else.
Before touching the mask.
Oh, well, hold on. I'm jumping the point. This is crazy. So look, check this out. So they're telling you that this, you're wearing a mask. This is what you should do every single time you put it on or take it off. Tell me how many people you think are doing this.
Your hands with alcohol-based hand rub or soap and water.
Before you touch it. Every time. Well, you're out at the store, you're driving. Wait. I got to wash my hands for 60 seconds so I can move my mask down so I can cough or do this. And then I got to wash them again to put it back on. Like, this is such a joke.
Inspect the mask for tears or holes. Do not use a mask that has previously been worn.
Right there. So you mean it shouldn't hang on my mirror? It shouldn't be on my counter? It shouldn't be on my chain or hanging around my neck? And it shouldn't be worn before? Yeah, nobody's doing that. Nobody. I mean, obviously there's some there probably, but I'm saying the vast majority are out there putting these on their seat car, putting them on their mirror, putting them on the table at the food court. I've seen them all. And this is supposed to be protecting people. And this is the only, and even then, remember, this mask itself is not doing anything for you other than increasing your risk of illness because of the size, as the PPE expert told you, it slides right out the side. It doesn't have any, but she tries to make it look like it slips right on your face and it completely seals. But again, the main point, this whole process is what you're supposed to do every single time you take it off or put it on.
Is damaged. Verify which side is the top. This is usually where the metal strip is. Identify the inside of the mask, which is usually the white side. Place the mask on your face, covering your nose, mouth, and chin, making sure there are no gaps between your face and the mask.
Oh, you mean like that huge gap right there on your chin? You mean like that big gap right there on your cheek? You mean like the gap up there between your nose? Yeah, no gaps at all. These are not made to be seamless. That's a ridiculous joke. And they know that. So this is the WHO patently lying to you, or at the very least pretending like it's okay, because they know that if they don't say it's okay, well, then they've been lying to you this whole time. That does not seal, which means it doesn't do anything.
Pinch the metal strip so that it molds to the shape of your nose.
And I can see right there that it doesn't. I can see that it's not sticking to your nose because they don't do that. There's a gap between the sides of your nose. There's a gap on the sides of your cheek. There's gaps between the bottom of your chin, like all of them do.
Do not touch the front of the mask.
That was weird. I guess they don't like us watching this.
To the shape of your nose. Remember, do not touch the front of the mask while using it to avoid contamination.
Which everybody does all day, every day, constantly, nonstop. And remember that nobody carries these things with them, like with a bag more of them. Every time you touch it, you're supposed to throw it away. Nobody does that.
If you accidentally touch it, clean your hands.
Ah, so now you touch it. Well, now you got to wash your hands again. Nobody does that either. Now, this is still part of the process, how to take it off.
Now, how do you take off a medical mask? Before touching the mask, once again, ensure that you clean your hands with alcohol-based hand rub or soap and water. Remove the straps from behind the head or ears without touching the front of the mask. As you remove the mask, lean forward and pull the mask away from your face. Medical masks are for single use only.
Nope. No, not at all, because everybody everywhere is not doing that. I mean, look at the image of this video today. There are entire industries marketing things that make you not use them once. And we're talking about medical masks or cloth masks. Now, of course, cloth masks are different. They argue those are reusable, but there's no reason they're any safer to reuse. That's ridiculous. Wash it. In fact, when you wash it, all it does is open the pores more, which makes it even less useful, which scientific studies have shown long before COVID-19. It's ridiculous. People are touching these constantly and using them more than once. Putting them down, putting them back on, this is what we all see.
Discard the mask immediately, preferably into a closed bin.
Oh, you mean like a biohazard location? Nope, just a random thing, because it's not like we're in the biggest pandemic of a century like they keep telling us, and I don't think that. That's what they keep saying, right? And if it is, and they say that, well, that would make that thing a very clear biohazard. That would be a very clear risk of one of the most big, serious diseases we've seen in a long time. This is their narrative. But no, they're just littered around the ground. They're hanging on mirrors. They're all over the place. They're just casual. Throw them in the garbage can. No big deal.
Clean your hands after touching the mask. Always be aware of the condition of the mask. Replace it if it gets soiled or damp. A mask alone.
So let me ask you this. You're walking outside. It's cold outside. So your breath is foggy. You walk out there for 30 seconds and the mask gets moist, which it will. You're supposed to stop where you are. Wash your hands, bend over, take it off, throw it away, wash your hands, put another one on, walk 3 steps, do it again. It's not a joke, guys. This is very ridiculous because it's obvious that these things get moist in the moments that you're using them. This is just ridiculous. And even surgeons and doctors, they think this is ridiculous, other than the ones that are toeing the line for God knows why.
Cannot protect you from COVID-19. It must be combined with other measures, including maintaining mask alone. Cannot always be aware of the condition of the mask. Replace it if it gets soiled or damp. A mask alone cannot protect you from COVID-19.
Well, that's not what a lot of these people have been led to believe. Most of these people are out there with their mask on. You know, and look, I'm not arguing that they should be doing anything different except not wearing the mask, but they'll be out there with their mask on and they'll be walking right next to each other. They'll be right, you know, sitting down, holding hands, whatever else. But the mask comes off and suddenly they're like, oh, whoa, get away. We can't touch. You'll be sitting in a restaurant and people will be at their tables with their masks off. You'll get up and walk by without a mask, look at you like you're crazy, even though you were just sitting a foot away from them at the other table. This is brainwashing. There's no difference when you're sitting down versus when you stand up. The point is the mask doesn't really do anything. And what she's telling you is they won't protect you. He just said that. But go ahead and do this and do that and do everything else and just wear it just in case. Well, that doesn't apply when it clearly causes other health issues and increases your risk of infection.
It must be combined with other measures, including maintaining at least 1 meter distance from each other. Washing your hands frequently.
Another point he makes in that PPE expert video where he points out that the 6 feet rule is ridiculous. Because if this is aerosolized, which it really is, which the experts are admitting, even the mainstream, is that it goes much further. So the 6 feet rule is a joke because that's about the idea that droplets fall after 6 feet. And we know it's not about droplets.
Avoid touching your eyes, mouth, and nose while wearing a mask. Stay safe.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. Oh, this isn't the one. Where was that? Here it is.
A fabric mask acts as a barrier to prevent the spread of the virus.
Nope. Incorrect. Incorrect. As even the only random controlled trial of cloth masks very clearly found that the rates of infection outcomes were highest in the cloth mask arm, with the rate of influenza-like illness statistically significantly higher in the cloth mask arm. So you were higher at risk compared with the medical mask arm. So compared to medical masks, it's much higher. Cloth masks also had significantly higher rates of influenza-like illness, which, yes, does include COVID-19, compared with the control arm. An analysis by by mask use showed that the influenza-like illness was significantly higher in the cloth mask group when compared with medical mask group. And then just in general, the moisture retention reuse of cloth masks increased your risk of infection. Isn't that funny? But go ahead, CDC, or WHO, excuse me. Tell us the lie that the science argues against.
It must be used correctly and always combined with other measures to protect yourself and everyone else.
So masks alone don't do anything. That's what they're telling you. As well as the fact that you have to wear them correctly, which a cloth mask, there's no such thing as wearing it correctly. You can wear a bandana. You can wear one of those cloth masks you wear at the gas station. None of them are regulated. None of them have any common thread. No pun intended. I mean, like, there's no common regulation that they're not made a certain way, certain thickness, certain fabric types. They're all over the map. So how can they be worn correctly if they don't even know what type they are, how thick they are, or how long? I mean, this is ridiculous.
When wearing a fabric mask, clean your hands before putting it on.
Every time.
Inspect the mask and do not use it if it is damaged or dirty.
Okay, so it's a cloth. This is even more important. Cloth mask, which means it's reusable. So you have to wash it, right? So you're out and it gets dirty. What do you do? Uh-oh. Like, apparently you have to drive home, wash your hands, wash it, and come back to work? No. Or what happens if you have another one, right? Oh, well, you have to store it. Well, you're going to have multiple ones because it's going to get wet multiple times throughout the day. And where do you store those things? Do you keep them safe? Where do you put the one that was dirty? Or this is ridiculous. Nobody does this. They wear it all day and maybe wash it. More likely, they go home and they hang it up on the hook.
Cover your mouth, nose, and chin. Adjust the mask to your face, leaving no gaps on the sides.
But that's not possible. This is the point. They do not seal. They're not the kind, they're not the N95 respirators. They're not made like this. And even then, what if one seals and one doesn't? What if the one from the Quickie Mart down the road and the one from 7-Eleven are different? One has one seal, one doesn't. You know, it's these are the same points, but it's just ridiculous that they're trying to argue that we're all crazy for pointing out the obvious.
Avoid touching the mask while wearing it.
Which everybody does all the time.
Change your mask once it gets...
By the way, even all of the politicians, Boris Johnson, or whoever, we constantly watch them touch their mask.
It's dirty or wet. To take off the mask, clean your hands first. Remove it by the straps behind the head or ears without touching the front of the mask. As you remove the mask, pull it away from your face. Clean your hands after taking off any mask.
Nobody's doing this.
If you need to reuse a fabric mask, store it in a clean, resealable bag.
Right. So you see everybody wearing these bags? No. You have them on their mirror. You have them in their pocket. You have it on their phone, on the table. You have it hanging around a chain on their neck. People are literally selling, like I was saying, entire markets designed to make little chain loops that you can hang your mask on, which is a complete violation. You can have little things that hangs them on your keys. I've seen all these things. And people are using them. And they're selling them. And people are even going along with it because it's compliance. Masks good at all costs. Like vaccine good at all costs. Doesn't matter if you're doing the wrong thing, if it errs on the side of using a mask.
Hold the mask at the elastic ends when removing it from the bag. And make sure it is not dirty or wet before using it again. Wash fabric masks in soap or detergent, preferably with hot water, at least once a day.
What happens if it's dirty, though? It's dirty. You just said it got dirty. So what do? I just keep wearing it?
Make sure you have your own mask and do not share it with others.
Gross.
When wearing a mask, make sure you know how to put it on, use it, remove it, and discard it or wash it correctly.
Now, wouldn't you argue that this would have been the thing to do Like, even though this is completely wildly incorrect, don't you think this would have been the thing to come out with, WHO, back when you were telling people to wear them in the beginning of all this, not a year later when you're going, oh, now that we've already done all this, here's how you should have been doing it this whole time. Don't you think? It's almost like they wanted you to do something. And this is same old argument over and over and over. By the way, just to wrap it up, this study that I showed you from Stanford in January 2021 on Science Direct, as well as PubMed, a whole bunch of other places, Twitter suspended, I'm not even familiar with this person, Steve Quartz, for citing this study. So he posts exactly what they say. He posts the link to the study, and they suspend his entire account. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Here's the study. Read it for yourself. Is Stanford a fake news, anti-science, conspiracy theorist outlet or location? I mean, I'm not saying I trust anything that these places have to say, but those are the places they tell us we should listen to until they say something they don't want us to hear. Crazy. The reality is slapping us in the face, guys. It has been for quite some time. Look at that. Dang it, 2:40. I was at 2 hours. I thought we were going to be good there. About the same old three-hour tour, as Erie Ferrier likes to put it. But there's a lot of good stuff to talk about today. Glad I did the show today. A lot of important things. The mask thing is always an important point for us. But thank you for being here. Thank you for continuing to come out and share the information and ask questions and help your fellow man and woman. Go out there and share the information with people. Go out there and open their eyes to what's really going on. You know what I mean? Like that is the best we can do right now for your neighbor or for your friend, or, you know, keep help bringing the information and keep showing them the studies and the science. And, you know, I mean, honestly, the show, just giving them a 3-hour video is probably not the best thing to do because they probably won't watch it, but pick out one of the studies and be like, check this study out. What do you think about this? It's straight from Stanford. You know, that's what we need to do, because I am convinced that we are breaking through to people right now, and we need to capitalize on it. It's actually a brown coat. Someone's commenting on that. But thank you for being here. I appreciate you all more than you possibly know. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.